about.
I have a message for the people, and I'm in need of a medium.
You'll always be an extra large to me.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I got a DUI because I was out the other night with my sister, and X and X happened, and it wasn't putting me in a good situation. So I had to, like, be locked out of the house. My car got towed, blah, blah, blah. I'm home now. Everything's fine. And, yeah, I'm just not happy about it. And so it was just like, okay.
Wrong! Try again, dumbass!
Invented in 1919, it's controlled with the hands. Judy.
What is a theremin?
Theremin, yes.
Use too many big words, man.
And now, the Bible's against it, God's against it, I'm against it, and if you've got any sense, you're against it.
Our feature presentation.
Do you guys sense that the Bible would be against this show?
Yes. Okay. The Bible would be against it, for yeah. sure.
Right. Just want to make sure we're doing the right thing. That's uh-huh. Just want to make sure we're keeping on the trail. Well, welcome in, party people, to yet another new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Wednesday morning. How's everybody doing? Lisa, what's going on with you?
Not much. Getting
How's Little Boner?
Little Boner's great. Crawled in bed with me in the middle of the night. You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. Little Boner's so lucky.
I'm cuddled up.
So lucky.
It's pretty much the best.
Well, I got a new job for you, Lisa.
Mm.
Unfortunately, okay. it is unpaid, but it does sound like it could be exciting, and there are some fringe benefits. There is a man who is in the news right now whose name is Chad Leslie Peters. I don't have a lot of information on him. He looks like he's, I don't know, he's probably in his 40s, maybe, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He is an author. He writes books that go up on Amazon in, you know, one of those for download.
Right.
And his last book was called A 30-Day Experiment – excuse me, A 4-Week Experiment in Love is what it was called. And it's an erotic novel about an older man and his much younger lover. And apparently it had some success on Amazon. And now he's writing a new book, except this time he wants it to be true. He wants it to be a nonfiction book. So he is advertising for a woman to have an affair with him. He calls it an affair. I can't find any reference to whether he's married or not. But basically, he says he's looking for an unpaid intern who will have sex with him for 30 days and so that he can write about it as his next book.
Is no one having sex with him otherwise? Is this
well,
the problem?
See, this is what I don't know because, I mean, if he's – look, a lot of people use the word affair incorrectly. An affair is when somebody's married.
Right.
And is having have and has a relationship with somebody outside that marriage. If two single people are together, it's not an affair. They're just dating.
Right.
Or banging. Well, here's how he's advertising. The book will detail every aspect of a mutually agreed to romantic affair between myself and a young female lover, perhaps you experienced over 30 days as in the novel. Again, he wrote the novel that was the fiction version. Now he wants to write a real life version of the same story. The difference between the first book and this one will be verite. Everything in this new volume will be the truth as both participants see it. If you agree to participate in the project, you will keep a diary of all of your thoughts, impressions, and memories for the 30-day affair that we will share. I will then combine your written thoughts with my own to present the reader with two versions of the same erotic story. One love affair as seen separately by the man and the woman. The man insists, by the way, that he is a serious writer. This project is meant to be taken seriously by the participant that I choose. He also has requested the prospective applicants be at least 20 years old with a clean bill of sexual health, preferably an English or writing major.
Ugly girls need not apply.
Well, I'm sure he doesn't say that, but I that's assumed, right? So does this sound – I mean, is this a legitimate thing or is it just a Craigslist hookup? What's going on here?
I, first of all, think some people misuse the word intern. Because that is not an internship in really anybody else's definition.
Yeah, it really is more of a sex slave, right?
Right. Yes, that's exactly. I guess
I wonder
it
if,
could
I wonder
have...
if anyone. I wonder if anyone will bite just because it'll give them a chance to be published and have a book. You know,
possibly.
I just wonder if something like this is going to work.
I mean,
if so, I need to get my ad together.
They would get some publicity, and a lot of people want that.
Absolutely. Yeah,
you know,
that's a good point.
I guess there could be some value to this, some actual artistic value to it.
Yeah, it is, and it's weird to say, okay, I'm going to interview you, and then if you're selected, we're going to have sex for the next 30 days, and then we're going to write a book about it. Maybe we ought to try to get Chad Leslie Peters on.
Yeah, I think that would be
interesting. That might be interesting.
And, you know, to actually see two people's very honest feelings about the same experience is kind of interesting because it could be shockingly different. It's like, that's
absolutely
the best night of my life. And she's like, I was trying desperately not to throw up.
Well, it's funny. This article on it's funny you should say that because this article on Gawker, where I first found the story, some of the comments are tremendous, like this one. Someone is imagining exactly what she would be writing. Day 19, Chad is still insufferable. I continue to resist his attempts at seduction, which have devolved into, but you answered the ad. And my favorite, pretty much everyone named Chad has a Chad personality. This is such a Chad thing to do.
That's great.
So anyway, we'll keep you posted. So I'm going to put you down as a no then.
I'm a no.
You're going to pass.
But I would talk to him.
Okay. All right.
I think
sounds
that would
good
be interesting.
Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin DeBee show, shall we?
Hey, if you can't be adults, then you don't deserve to be called adults, but children, because that's what children are, and you'll be treated like children.
Well, we are very much adults today because we have a big boy show, including our friend Zach Braff stopping by at 7 o'clock with a major announcement. If you are a fan of Mr. Braff's work on Scrubs or Garden State or the Oz movie that's in theaters now, you're definitely going to want to hear what he has to say. Zach Braff will be here at 7 a.m. Rich Eisen talking about this week's NFL draft is going to be joining us at 6:35. Of course, Rich from 7:35 rather. Of course, Rich from the NFL Network. We've got Chris and Ben from Soundgarden stopping by.
Oh, very cool.
You know how great they are? I don't know how Chris Cornell has that voice anyway. I particularly don't know how he has it at 8 o'clock in the morning, but they are going to be performing for us. We're going to be talking about the reunion album and tour and what's new in the world of Soundgarden, and they're going to be singing some songs for us. That's going to be in the 8 o'clock hour. Adam Carolla joins us for This Week in Rage on the program today. And our old friend William Shatner is going to be back. The 23rd annual Priceline.com Hollywood Charity A horse show is happening
that
soon.
That name just gets longer and longer.
I know it does. 23 years in a row, William Shatner has done this charity, and we love having him on, and we're going to have him on and talk about that and all the other stuff, including, by the way, I want to ask him, as Ralph brought to our attention, that piece of Star Trek memorabilia that just sold for over $200,000, that rifle that appeared in one Star Trek episode,
yes,
sold for $200,000. What does William Shatner have in his garage?
That's a good question. Well, I'm sure it's gone to the horses already.
Yeah, probably so. And at the time he was doing that show back in the 60s, who knew how much that stuff was going to be worth? Because if you did, you'd be going around just grabbing up every phaser you could, right?
Oh, yeah.
But there was just no – this sort of market didn't exist back then. But anyway, always have a lot to talk to Bill about, and he's coming up too. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, and that's next right after this on the world-famous K-Rock. I think you're right, Ralph. I think they're asking for a riot by announcing the Depeche Mode show at the Troubadour on Friday night.
Well, don't encourage it. Don't talk about
it. I'm not encouraging
it
at all.
Put it
I'm
out
saying,
there in the universe.
I'm saying you don't want to be anywhere near there unless you have unless you don't have tickets for the thing.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. I can see the lawyer holding the paperwork now, asking me questions, and now it's all problems.
You can't buy your way in, but you can win tickets to see Depeche Mode, one of the biggest bands in the world and one of the smallest clubs in L.A. at the Troubadour this coming Friday night. We'll have the tickets for you starting at 9 a.m. again today and all the way through 8 p.m. Every half hour, by the way, we give you those tickets here on the World Famous K-Rock. So there's no excuse to not at least try a few times today and win those tickets because it's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime event. 5:51, Ralph is here. Time for a first look at the showbiz beat on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
Everyone say a prayer for Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
What happened?
His intestines came through his stomach.
No.
Yeah, he had a hernia. No big deal.
Oh, okay.
He tweeted last Sunday, saw my doctor who had to push my intestines back through a tear in my abdomen. Kind of romantic. Surgery is next week. And he had emergency surgery on Monday. And he is on the mend, but he did have to miss the premiere of his latest movie, Pain and Gain. You see, people, this is why I don't lift heavy weights. Because see what happens? Your intestines come right through your stomach. Just
and
sit
by the
down
way,
and make yourself a cocktail, and you'll never get hurt, I promise.
We talk about all the time about all the stuff you're not supposed to do when you're a big money person. You know, if you're a professional athlete or in the case of Rock, you're carrying a $200 million movie on your back like he does sometimes. They shouldn't allow him to be in the freaking WWE, right?
Yeah.
This is how he got hurt.
No, I heard it because he was carrying a $20 million movie on his back. That's what happened. Heavy lifting, man. It's all the heavy lifting. Alan Arbus has passed away. Very talented actor. A photographer, also. He was married to a photographer, Diane Arbus. You may know that name. And he passed away. He played the psychiatrist on MASH. Sidney Freeman, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
I do.
Yeah, long story.
He was kind of old when that show was on.
He's 95 years old when he passed away.
Wow.
So, pretty good run.
That is a good run.
Looks like the Biebs is back in the arms of Selena Gomez. And a lot of people aren't pleased about the reunion. Mostly the believers, who still think they have a shot, I guess, when he's single. But the other group of people who aren't happy are Selena's friends.
Yeah, I'll
and
bet.
Selena, too, probably.
Friends, according to Radar Online, are furious that she's given that pop scrotum another chance. They think he's simply no good for her, and they want her to stay far, far away. It's not good for anybody. They've had a four-month break, and though nothing is official, they have seen the Biebs Instagram a photo of the two of them canoodling again, so it looks like it's the real deal.
Do we think that in the four-month break that they had that the Biebs was out there getting it done, Ralph, or was he pretty much pining away for his little Selena?
Of course he was. No, that douchebag?
I know he had that that blonde chick for a minute when he was in Britain. It seemed like he was with her for a few days in a row, but we didn't see a lot of stories about him dating much.
And a little twist. He was banging him for a while, too.
Oh, I wasn't worried. I didn't know that had gone.
Why do you think they call him Lil Twist? Like,
I see.
Lil Twist?
That's his move?
While we're talking about pop scrotum Justin Bieber, his monkey is still languishing in a German prison.
Oh, that's
it's like World War II all over again, man. The monkey's still in the prison!
Poor monkey.
Poor monkey! You may remember the story. He abandoned his baby cappuccino monkey, Molly, in Germany over a paperwork snafu, and the German said, look, we'd like you to come pick up your monkey, sir. And he, as of yet, he still hasn't, so now it looks like Bieber's people are encouraging the animal shelter where Molly's being kept to rehome him, as they're calling it.
Good.
Yeah. I don't know. Is there a lot of home opportunities for monkeys in Germany? A lot of people looking for Germans?
I don't think.
All I keep thinking of is Mike Myers on Saturday Night Live. His Dieter, remember his character Dieter?
Uh-huh.
Touch my monkey! No. Touch my monkey! I just keep thinking he's the only guy in Germany who's going to really want a monkey.
I hope that Germany is an evolved enough country that they have people who are willing to run facilities for animals without
imagine.
Homes like that.
No, it's going to go to some German fashion designer who's going to wear him on his shoulder on a catwalk or something. Yeah, I have a monkey! That's right. Everyone love me. I have monkey. Kris Jenner's a whore.
Yes.
All right, next story. No, it says, you see the photos on TMZ of her cell phone cover?
No.
They zoomed in on her cell phone. She was covering her cell phone cover, read, Queen of Effing Everything.
Jesus. Of course. God of course she would have that.
God damn it. God damn it. What are we going to do, people? All it takes for evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing. You've heard that, right? Here we are, just
absolutely.
Sitting around doing nothing.
Murder.
Thank you.
Well,
finally,
there's an idea.
Someone.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. And I guess everyone that's ever been on Teen Mom is horrible.
Well, I don't think that show encourages good behavior.
Yeah, I guess
it rewards it.
Yeah.
Rewards bad behavior, I
yeah.
should say. Yeah.
I mean, that's how you get on, and then you just keep misbehaving.
Well, another day, another arrest for Janelle Evans of Teen Mom 2. She's facing some serious charges. Possession of heroin with intent to manufacture, sell, and distribute.
Ooh.
And assault for allegedly hitting her husband, Cortland Rogers, with a piece of furniture. She hit it. What'd she hit him with? An ottoman? What did she hit?
Even that seems unlikely. You can pick that up and throw it. But
documents show she was also illegally in possession of prescription Percocet, drug paraphernalia, like a glass pipe.
Wow.
And she also has an outstanding warrant to failure to pay child support.
But she has a child.
Me too. And while we're talking about MTV and their high caliber of performer, Shay and Jessie J from Buckwild, you know, you've been hearing a lot about their porn, their sex tape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you will not see it anytime soon. Shay squared off with Jessie J in court on Monday, and the judge in Kanawha County, which I'm guessing is there near Sissonville, West Virginia, ordered the footage to be destroyed after Jesse admitted he was shopping the tape to, in his quote, ruin her life. Maybe not what you want to say to a judge in a courtroom. How stupid is this hillbilly?
Jeez.
So, yeah, you will never see Shay and Jesse J knocking boots because the judge ordered the tape to be destroyed, so it won't be sold.
Well, I'm against all porn being destroyed, I'll tell you that. That's a terrible trend, but I think we'll be okay without this one.
If you want to see two hillbillies having sex, apparently you're just going to have to hang out behind a West Virginia 7-Eleven. So those are your only options. Today's celebrity birthdays. Good batch. Interesting. Eclectic, if you will. Let's start with actress Shirley MacLaine. She's 79 years old in this life, this time around.
Right.
Actress, singer, director Barbara Streisand is 71 years old. And then you got bassist David Jay from Love and Rockets and Bauhaus. He's 56. Comedian, actor Cedric the Entertainer is 49. Jamin Hunsu, very talented actor. He's also 49. Actress Melinda Clark. She is just yummy.
40, love her.
44 years old. Actor Eric Balfour. He is 36. He's on Haven now on Sci-Fi. You remember him from 6 Feet Under.
He works always.
Constantly.
Yeah.
And I've met Eric on several occasions. He's a good dude. So I'm glad to see his success. Austin Nichols, the actor, is 33 years old. Kelly Clarkson is 31. Tyson Ritter of All-American Rejects turns 29 years old. And Splash contestant, model, and of course, girlfriend of A.J. McCarron, Catherine Webb, celebrates her 24th birthday today. She's a lovely lady. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I don't want to complain, Lisa May, but we've got a problem for Saturday morning, you and me, my dear.
Why? What? We're walking.
Well, you know, I know we're doing the One Legacy Foundation walk to support Donate Life and Run walk. It's organ donation and awareness. And you and I are going to be on Team Bean walking from Cal State Fullerton on Saturday morning with lots and lots of K-Rock listeners. I found out yesterday that a 5K is 3.1 miles.
Did you not know that?
Now, I thought a 5K was like 500 feet. I don't know how it works, the translation, you know, that goes from the metric to whatever it is we use. I thought it was like 500 feet. I thought we start and then we chat for like 30 seconds and we're done. We're at IHOP is what I thought.
No, you're going to be talking to people for about 3 miles. The good news is you can...
3 miles!
You can go slow. There's no time limit.
It's not a race.
If you finish by sunset, that's fine.
I'm going to be like that the little retarded kid who's, you know, runs the marathon in 28 hours and everybody, there's like two people at the finish line.
Right, with flashlights and a little banner.
It's going to be me.
I know, it's so sad.
Well, anyway, I agreed to do it, as did Lisa, because it's a very worthwhile cause. We are actually just joking around. We're delighted that we're going to be down in Orange County on Saturday morning. And if you'd like to be there to help us out, to walk with us and raise some money and awareness for organ donation, which is something that my eyes have really been open to in the past 6 months or so, now being an organ donor, now seeing what a difference it made in somebody's life, I'm very happy to spread the good word. And I look forward to meeting all the Kevin and Bean listeners that have signed up at krock.com or Kevin and Bean. We've heard from a lot of people, Lisa, who are coming, which I'm so thrilled with.
I am too. I was really excited. I mean, it's a neat chance to just hang out.
Exactly.
Which we don't get to do very often with people.
Exactly, yeah. The K-Rock listeners always come through. And please, we're running out of time here because the event is going to be Saturday morning. Please come walk with Lisa. Come walk with me. Help us raise money for a great cause. Sign up to be part of Team Bean. You can go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It is Wednesday morning on the world-famous K-Rock and time for a brand-new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Producer Dave, the King of Mexico, in studio with us here. He is the caretaker of all of the Internet Roundup videos. Pretty good batch today, King.
Yeah, I'm happy with this one.
And I got to tell you, some of the ones you really have to see to appreciate. Like the first clip that we're going to play, I'm going to be honest, there's not much to the audio. But what's going on, Dave, in this clip of these girls in Italy who get into a fight? One of them pulls up on a scooter. She jumps off and starts just banging on this other girl. And it turns into a girl brawl. What happens?
They're just fighting. And all of a sudden, a guy in a Roman costume comes out and he tries to break it up. And then the girl pulls another girl's dress off. And then she puts on the moped helmet and they scoot away. It's so random.
This girl's dress who comes off, by the way, and this is what struck me, is how is this real? How is this happening on the streets in Italy? Because she has a body and lingerie like a Victoria's Secret model.
Really?
You just can't believe that somebody happened to be filming this as this unfolded on an actual street in Italy. But here's the audio of when her dress comes off, and it's hilarious. Trust me, this video has something for everyone. If you love chick fights, you'll love it. If you love just seeing hot chicks in lingerie, you definitely want to check out this video at the kevinandbean.com Internet Roundup. Gay of Thrones is a recap that puts up every week. And it's really just a very popular TV show, Game of Thrones, from the gay perspective. And I think they do a great job with the recaps.
So then I'm like, how bored do you have to be to sit around and watch a ship? But then like the lady's maid in the back was all like, don't trust your bitch with that guy. And then she's like, don't trust that guy with your bitch. And then like by 30 seconds of that, I was like, what the f- is going on right now?
I don't even watch Game of Thrones, but I'm obsessed now with the Game of Thrones recaps.
I love it.
Awesome. The Colbert Report last week took on the hottest song in the nation. By that, of course, I mean the LL Cool J Brad Paisley accidental racist song that got so many people upset. Because let's face it, it's a terrible song. Their heart was in the right place. They're trying to address a serious issue, but it's a terrible song. And Stephen Colbert took it one step further. He did his song that's going to try to crack open another social problem. He calls his Oopsie Daisy Homophobe.
To the man stretching next to me at the Crunch Gym down on Main, I hope you understand. When I told you God hates the only thing I meant to say is I'm a Skinner fan.
Yeah, I love when Alan Cummings comes out and talks about how it's hard looking this good from the gay perspective. It's so
yeah,
funny.
He comes out and does the gay part like LL Cool J does the black part on the accidental races. It's very funny. Stephen Colbert out there with his cowboy hat. You got to check it out on the roundup. Daft Punk has a new song that just came out. We've been playing it a lot here on K-Rock called Get Lucky. It's been a long time since a song has come out that everybody likes, no matter what kind of music they're into, no matter how old they are, black, white, gay, straight, everybody loves this Daft Punk song. I mean, it's huge. All of a sudden, just out of nowhere, it's the biggest thing on the radio, and people are having a lot of fun with it online. And one of the sites did a great mashup of Daft Punk with a bunch of Michael Jackson songs, and they really do go together well. Here's Daft Punk, their new Get Lucky song, mixed up with Billie Jean. Check this out.
She told me her name's Billie Jean, as she calls to sing. Then heavy head turned with the eyes to dream of being the one that would dance on the floor in the round.
That's great, isn't it?
Makes you want to shake your ass.
Real estate is a tough game, and sometimes it's tough to be the realtor out there getting the notice, you know, getting the hot listings. This guy's doing a great job. I think he's in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and he decided that the way he was going to advertise his real estate firm was by making a rap. Now, generally, white guys shouldn't rap, and here's more evidence why.
Here's an offer on the house. We really want to buy it. Our loan is bankroll.
Oh, that house is getting sold on the market Friday. Boston condos like gold. 2 days, 5 offers, and we got it sold. Signs are going up. Signs are coming down. Remax offers pulled. All our homes are sold. Small house, big house, old ones, new ones, sparkling, shiny, even ones with mold. Northern Virginia homes. Ryan, get some sold.
It's terrible.
He's got me sold.
Do you sense, Dave, that that's a TV commercial or is it just a viral video that he made for the website?
I bet you it was a local public access commercial.
Yeah, it's just awful, though.
I would buy a house off him.
There's a great story that was going around a couple weeks ago about this girl who runs a sorority house. I think, I don't have it in front of me, but I think it was University of Maryland, by the way, embarrassingly, my alma mater. Mm-hmm. And she was furious because the girls in her house, she did not feel, were following the rules. Like, you're supposed to do certain things, supposed to be at certain events and certain parties, and you're supposed to be, you know, spreading the good word about your sorority. And she would find that they were hanging out all over campus on other sorority houses, sometimes hanging out at fraternity houses instead of going to the games and cheering on their team and stuff like that. So she wrote this scathing, obscenity-filled email that just went viral where she just basically just dressed down these girls and F you and F this and F that. And it's just hilarious. And she's been disciplined ever since that word got out. Well, it's taken over the internet too. And there's a lot of different versions of the letter being read by lots of different people. But far and away the best is our friend Allison Hayslip, of course, you remember from G4. She owns this. Listen to her reading a little bit of this deranged sorority girl email. You'll love it.
Sportsmanship. You cheer for our goddamn team and not the other one. Have you never been to a sports game? Are you blind? Or are you just so dense about what it means to make people like you that you think being a good little supporter of the Greek community is going to make our matchup happy? Well, it's time someone told you no one likes that, especially our matchup. I will punt the next person I hear about doing something like that, so I don't give a if you're sore with me. I will assault you.
Wow.
And if you go to the Kevin Beat Internet Roundup, by the way, to see that, it's without the beeps, and it is effective. Birma, go ahead and skip the next clip for me, and we'll get into the last two on this edition of the Internet Roundup. They're both going to be from our friend Jimmy Kimmel Live Show, weeknights at 11:30 now on ABC. Jimmy loves his feature called Lie Witness News, and I do too. This is where he takes the cameras out and asks people questions about things that never happened or things that don't exist just to see if they'll lie to appear smart. And he really picked a great target because he went out to Coachella and started interviewing people in the field there about, you know, these hip new bands that don't exist, making up names to see if they would admit that they didn't know who they were or if they would play along and pretend they were hipper than they are. Here's a little bit of Jimmy Kimmel Live's Live Witness News.
Are you guys as excited as I am about the obesity epidemic?
I just like their whole style, like their whole genre is just great. They're kind of like very like innovative and they're new.
There's some smaller bands that are playing, yeah. Two Door Cinema Club.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
they're
to that.
Good.
Yeah.
Do you like their album DJ Cornmeal?
Yeah, actually, I had a radio show on a community radio station up in Canada, and I used to spin them all the time.
Oh, wow. Sounds like a great show.
Yeah.
Now, Two Door Cinema Club, of course, is a real band. They don't have an album called DJ Cornmeal, though, but the whole rest of the thing. Who are some of the bands that you liked, Dave, that they talked about?
The Chelsea Clintons, that band from Williamsburg.
And Get the F Out of My Pool. That was my favorite.
Yeah, that may be my favorite.
People just refused to admit they didn't know who they were. And finally, we close every internet roundup with this because it's the funniest thing on TV. Jimmy Kimmel's This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
This Week in Unnecessary Censorship.
They say he secretly watched one woman take a
I fell asleep with a cup sticking out of my mouth.
The trial has begun for a woman accused of her husband's today she him as he takes a stand.
They only did what the defendant asked them to do, which was to replace the solenoid and not attorney.
See, none of those were really dirty words, but they beep them and it makes it seem like they are. You can see all these videos and so much more at kevinandbean.com or krec.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Lumineers on KROQ, 106.7 KROQ. More tickets for you to see Depeche Mode at the Troub coming up starting at 9 o'clock this morning and every half hour throughout the day here on KROQ. We have a huge program for you. Zach Braff will be here at 7. Rich Eisen from the NFL Network talking about the NFL Draft at 7:30. Soundgarden will be stopping by around 8 o'clock. Adam Carolla, 8:30. And the captain himself, William Shatner, at 9 o'clock. That's all coming up here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Lisa May.
Yes.
You saw Neil Diamond and the tremendous performance and appearance that he made at Boston's Fenway Park last Saturday. Remember we talked about it on the show where he decided on his own that he was going to fly out to Boston and sing his Sweet Caroline song in the seventh inning stretch live as a surprise to the fans.
It was awesome and so touching.
It really was. And I don't know why or how the tradition started, but they've been playing that Sweet Caroline for about 10 years or 11 years, something like that, at Fenway Park. That's just what they do. And to have him there in person is kind of a, you know, hey, we're doing something nice for you because of the terrible week Boston has had. I just thought it was an amazing thing. Well, now Neil Diamond is going a step further, and he is writing new music inspired by, Boston Strong is this thing that's been going on because of how resilient the people are and how they all, you know, got together to get through that horrible thing with the marathon bombings and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's amazing. Apparently he's fast-tracking this song that he's trying to get out this week. So we wanted to find out more about it. We asked producer Dave, could we talk to someone? And lo and behold, Neil Diamond himself joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Neil. What a thrill it is to have you on today.
Kevin and Bean. What a pleasure it is to talk to you.
Well, congratulations, first of all, on your, amazing career of the last 40 years. It seems like you're as popular today as you ever were.
I'm blessed by the man upstairs, and I can't say how much I appreciate all the fans and all they do to keep me on top.
Certainly, yeah. And what do you know about this? I mentioned that they've been playing your song, Sweet Caroline, in the seventh inning stretch for about 10 or 11 years at Fenway Park. How did something like that get started? Do you even know?
You know, I have no idea how it all got started, but I'll tell you, when you hear that many people singing one of your songs at one time, it's an amazing thing!
It is. You're definitely an energetic, excitable man, aren't you, Neil?
I am!
And this new song sounds intriguing. You haven't had an album of new material in a couple of years, but it sounds like you've really been inspired by the people of Boston over this past week.
Yeah, I heard you talking about it, and the truth is, it's going to be a new album, original songs.
Oh!
All inspired by the terrible, terrible tragedy in Boston. It started off as one song, and then the songs just kept coming. And so I just started recording, and we're going to have a whole album of new material, all inspired and dedicated to the good people of Boston.
Can you give us any idea what about any of the song ideas that you have?
Well, here's the thing, Bean.
Yes.
When you're faced with a tragedy like this, I think the only answer is love. The only response you can come back with is compassion.
Uh-huh.
Even for this heinous criminal and his brother who committed these foul acts, I think the only way you can respond is with love, because you can only beat evil with love. The only way you can combat something that horrible.
So that's the type of thing you're writing about in these songs?
Every song's about fighting evil with love. Don't let hate fill your heart, for even for someone as bad as this man was, for the evil things that he did. Don't let hate win!
Wow, you're very passionate about this game.
Let love conquer all.
Okay.
So let me play you a couple, just some snippets from what we're working on, some of the
tracks. Oh, you have it right there. That's fantastic. This is a thrill.
Yeah, so just to keep in mind, all these songs come from my heart and for love.
For love.
This one's about the guy who actually did the bombing.
Now we caught that guy. It's time to behead him.
Wait a minute.
Give him one last meal. Then cut off his head.
I mean that with love.
But, Neil, that's love. How is that love and compassion that you want to decapitate the guy?
You have to fight evil with love, Bean. That's the only way we can survive in this world.
How is it love to cut the head off a 19-year-old?
Well, we do it quick. I think that's a loving gesture. This next song's also about love, about this 19-year-old we've caught, but how we have to answer hatred with love.
Love.
In a cell. That's where we put him till he rots in hell. It wouldn't bother me, I'd like to say. He'll do okay in Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, throw away the key.
So this is a whole album of songs inspired by the tragedy
inspired
in Boston.
By the tragedy and dedicated to the misguided 19-year-old we have in custody now, trying to answer hate with love.
Yeah, a lot of love there. Well, I think we have time for one more if you have anything else for us, Neil.
There's another song dedicated to the 19-year-old who committed this heinous act. And as I mentioned, we can't hate back because then hate wins. We got to love.
Love.
Cut off his and feed it to the guy. He'll have no reason to zip up his fly.
That's right. Cut off his penis.
Yeah. A lot of love coming through those songs. Now I think the message is definitely getting out.
The only way to beat the evil is with love. And, of course, kill this son of a bitch.
Zach Braff is looking for a little help to make his next film. He'll be joining us just after 7 o'clock this morning to talk about it on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Before I get to show business news, how about some passes?
Yes.
To an advanced screening of one of the most anticipated movies of the year.
Say it.
It is the K-Rock advanced screening of...
Yes.
What? Now.
Iron Man 3.
Yay!
Iron Man. Does whatever an iron can.
Nope.
Presses drapes.
Nope.
Makes them straight.
Nope.
Even pleats. He is great. Look out. Here comes the Iron Man.
You're confused, Ralph. You're thinking of Spider-Man. This is Iron Man completely different.
Oh, very different. It is happening at the AMC Burbank 16. Tuesday, April the 30th. Movie's not in theaters until May the 3rd, so you will be amongst the first people in North America to see Iron Man 3. But I'm not going to give these away because you know how much I'm a geek, and you know I love my comic books and my sci-fi and my comic book movies, so I'm going to make you earn these. Iron Man, of course, is Tony Stark. That is true, yes. He is, of course, the CEO of Stark Industries. However, Tony didn't found that company. No, he is the son of a very successful creator, a businessman, and this guy did it first. He's been in the Iron Man movies. John Slattery played him in Iron Man 2. Dominic Cooper played him in the Captain America First Avenger film. So he is a big part of the Marvel Universe. Just name me Tony's dad. I need the name of Tony Stark's dad, the founder of Stark Industries. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through with the correct answer, you get a pair of passes to see the advanced screening of Iron Man 3.
Who's Krusty the Clown?
Krusty the Clown, correct.
Farrah Abramson?
No, Farrah Abramson is not even a person, Kevin. While we're talking about Iron Man 3, one of the stars of the film, congratulations to Gwyneth Paltrow. She has been named by People Magazine this week as, wait for it, kids, put down your coffee.
Yes.
Most beautiful woman in the world.
Hello, Iron Man 3.
People Magazine. On the cover, they have dubbed her world's most beautiful woman.
Now, it's not April 1st, so what do you suppose that's about?
Well, my only idea is The Onion has bought People Magazine. That's the only way I can rationalize that cover.
Look, I like Gwyneth more than you do, Ralph, and I think she's attractive. She's not in the top 10,000 most beautiful person in the world.
No. She's not even the most beautiful woman in Iron Man. She's not even the most beautiful woman in Iron Man, in a theater showing Iron Man.
What's that about?
You know what makes her feel beautiful, Bean?
What?
Tell me.
Her kids.
Yeah,
sure. Her kids make her feel beautiful.
But that doesn't make her look beautiful to the rest of us.
But her kids make her look beautiful.
I'm happy she feels good about herself. Her kids, that doesn't make her hot.
It's all about her kids. They make her beautiful, man.
Yeah.
That's what she says. Around the house, I'm in jeans and a t-shirt. I don't really wear makeup. That's what they're used to.
Oh, that was insightful. Yeah. Thank you.
That's bullshit.
Just Gwyneth being Gwyneth.
Chris will make a joke about it. If I've forgotten to be fully dressed up, people are like, oh, wow. You're Gwyneth Paltrow once I'm all dressed up, because he's used to seeing me in baggy shorts and frizzy hair. Oh, Gwyneth, you're just like us.
She is.
And you're just the most beautiful woman in the world. To paraphrase my old friend Bobcat Goldthwait, I wonder what Total Effing BS magazine had to say about it. Yeah. Congratulations, Gwyneth.
They must have gotten some sort of Iron Man 3 scoop or something for that. There had to be a deal made, right?
They had to have had nude pictures with Robert Downey Jr. at the goat or something, and that they got an exchange. Madness. Madness, I say.
Fire beer mug.
Yeah, and it's beer mug's fault. Hey, Lisa, you're going to like this. It's about a play.
Okay.
About a musical.
Tell me.
I think this is a great idea, by the way. They've just announced that a stage version of the 1991 movie The Commitments is going to open on London's West End later this year and then head to Broadway.
Perfect fit.
For those of you who don't remember the movie, The Commitments was about a bunch of rough and tumble Irish kids in Dublin who put together their own R&B soul band. Great film. One of my favorites. Based on the Roddy Doyle book. And apparently he is writing the script for the musical as well. And I guess they're going to have plenty of old soul classics in the film. So
that
I think it could be a big hit.
Yeah.
You ever see that film, Bean?
I did. Commitments? I did. It's been a while, but yeah. Really good.
Great film. I think it's a great idea to turn it into a musical. And sad news for those of you who are hoping to see Shay from MTV's Buck Wild in that sex tape that was being shopped around. She and her ex-boyfriend Jesse J squared off in court on Monday because Shay was trying to stop him from selling the sex tape that they made. TMZ.com reports that a judge there in Kanawha County ordered the footage to be destroyed. After he got Jesse J to admit that he was shopping the tape to ruin Shay's life. That apparently was not the right answer to the question. And so the judge said, well, in that case, we'll just destroy the tape and nobody will be able to see it. So there you go. Another judge ruining our erections. What's it going to take, America, until we finally take a stand? I'm pro-erection.
This is where you want to take a stand?
That's, yes, Lisa.
Yes? Okay.
I take a stand where my erection is concerned. Is that all right with you?
Can't really help it, I suppose.
Oh, you hate erections.
Ralph, may I introduce you to Kevin and Bean listener Dennis? He is on line 5, and he's got a little something he wants to talk to you about.
Dennis, I need the name of Tony Stark's dad.
That would be Howard Stark.
Howard Stark, that's right, the man who founded Stark Industries. There'd be no Stark Industries without a Howard Stark. That's how I always feel. Congratulations, Dennis. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details. You're going to see the advanced screening of Iron Man 3. Congratulations also to Andrew and Robert and James and Vincent. They're all going...
So many chicks again today with these ladies that just take over the lines.
They get two tickets. They'll probably bring their girlfriends and wives. So Iron
or
Man 3
moms.
Will be filled.
I'm sure James and Vincent and Dennis and Andrew and Robert are hot.
You know, I don't concern myself with how attractive our male listeners are being. Maybe that's
department. I thought at least one of them would
maybe
be a girl.
That's
I guess
your
not.
Department. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Shirley MacLaine, 79. Barbara Streisand is 71. Jamin Hunsu, very talented actor, turns 49. Melinda Clark.
What's she been doing, by the way?
She was on last season of Entourage.
Yeah, that's right.
I saw her in
that's
that, right. but I haven't seen her in a while.
She's
now.
Great.
Eric Balfour, 36 years old today. Kelly Clarkson. Turns 31. Tyson Ritter of All American Rejects is 29. And Splash contestant, model, and girlfriend of college football superstar A.J. McCarron, Catherine Webb, celebrates her 24th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
1 hour away from Ben and Chris from the band Soundgarden, stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show, performing live on the program. Adam Carolla next hour, too. And the captain will be on the bridge, William Shatner, in the 9 o'clock hour. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, our friend Zach Braff is back.
Hello. Hi,
Zach.
Thank you for having me again. You guys are, I feel like I should be on staff here. You're so nice to me.
Well, it's great to have you. We talked to you a few weeks ago as The Great and Powerful Oz, or Oz the Great and Powerful, I guess it's actually called, was coming out. And, you know, we all said that was going to be a flop. Now you're closing in on $500 million worldwide.
And it all started with you guys. I want you to know, I credit you guys as making that happen, so thank you.
But does that blow your mind when you think about you being in a $500 million movie? Come on.
Yes, it totally blows my mind. You know, as I told you when I was here, most of the stuff I'm involved with are small, sort of independent, personal projects. So to try one of these big tentpole extravaganza Disney movies was a really cool experience for me, and I'm glad it did so well for everybody.
Do you feel like you've developed new fans over the world? And the reason I ask that is because I'm on your Twitter and I see that you've signed up for some sort of ghetto Russian Facebook page called VK.
Well,
so apparently you have a bunch of Russian fans.
I had no idea that I have a big Russian following. I did not know that. And what happened was I have a Russian buddy who told me. He said, you know that Garden State and Scrubs and you are popular in Russia. And I said, what? I've never even heard it. So I wrote a sentence and he translated into perfect like Russian slang. And the sentence was like, hey, do I have any Russian fans? I love vodka and boobs. And it was like, and I sent it out in the middle of the night because I have insomnia. I can't effing sleep. And sometimes I'm just lying in bed when all of North America is asleep, and I thought, well, Russia's awake. I'm gonna tweet this to Russia, and so I did, and it got like 3,000 retweets. And
oh
then
my
I,
God!
And then I had heard in the middle of the night, and then I well in the middle of our night, and then I heard that Facebook is big over there, but even bigger is their version, which is called VK.
Huh.
So I joined because I thought, well, let me talk to my Russian fans and
sure.
So yeah,
do they speak English? A lot of them speak English?
They seem to, but a lot of it's broken. So, I mean, you know, the country's so huge, or the countries are so huge, the area is so huge that I think it varies just like anything. But
I just think that's why I love social media, and that's why I love the internet age in which we live, is that you can be laying in your bed, and I don't want to ask what you're wearing because, you know, who knows who you're talking to on the other side of the globe.
It depends who I'm talking to sometimes.
Literally, in real time, you've got some, you know, 15-year-old who's in Minsk or something who's talking to Zach Braff. It's happening.
That's
awesome.
That's what's really insane about – I mean, that's what's so crazy because Scrubs and Garden State created not just a North America American audience, but they created an international audience in places that I never even go. I had an ex-girlfriend write me on Facebook. She said, I'm doing charity work in this tiny village in Africa, and I passed what can only be described as like a hut, and there was on a broken, like on an old television, an episode of Scrubs was playing. And it's just mind-blowing. I mean, the global nature of being able to reach all these people with social media and have a global conversation with your fans, I mean, it's insane.
It is insane. And that's why what you are here to announce today is so brilliantly timed, because you have figured out a way to – I was going to say harness, but I think I'll go a step further and say exploit the love that your fans have for you, Zach Braff, and figure out a way to make it work for you. Am I right?
Well, that's the cynical way to put it.
That's the bean way to put it.
That's a very cynical way to put it. Basically, I'm launching a Kickstarter campaign for my second film. I've yet to make a movie after Garden State, and for lots of different reasons. But I'm here to tell you that I'm going to give crowdfunding a try. I've been very involved in funding projects on Kickstarter myself, and didn't really know if it would work for a larger scale movie. And then, like we all know, Rob Thomas, who created the show Veronica Mars, recently did it with Kristen Bell, and they had just a phenomenal success.
It
was inspiring,
wasn't
it?
Well, it was so inspiring because for these small little projects, I mean, I'm not. Who knows if this would work for larger, giant commercial movies? But for these small personal art films that have a finite audience, like Garden State, or Veronica Mars had a little cult following. Garden State had a really wonderful cult following. It might be the ultimate way to get them made because they're so impossible to get made. If your screenplay doesn't follow. Or seem to be aimed at a giant demographic that is the Earth. There's a lot of trepidation. Whereas,
they only make movies for everybody now. They don't make movies for just a few anymore.
Well, some people do. Here's an example. Here's who I think is genius at this, and in my opinion, changed the mold. And that's Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry said, "I'm not going to try and make movies for 600 million people. I'm going to make movies for my audience, the people who like what I do, and the loyalty on that fan base is insane. I mean." mean, he's built an empire off of that.
Yeah, and he's had something like 10 or 11 top 10 movies in a row.
All I know is he gave Oprah a Bentley, okay? So by the time you're giving Oprah a Bentley, things are going well. And but my point is that he found his own way. And I think with Veronica Mars, what was so cool is that Rob Thomas, who's the creator of the show, said, look, I know there's an audience for this. Yeah, they might be small. Yeah, it's not going to do blockbuster business. But if I can just find a way to fund it, I can give the audience what I know that they want.
And it will still make money, too.
And we're not asking for $20 million either.
Right.
It'll make money, but these art films, they're not money-making endeavors. You don't go into this going, I got a scam, you know? It's, you know, if you wanted to go do that, you go make an infomercial. These aren't really about making dough. They're about giving your audience what they want, which tend to be smaller. For my fan base, tend to be these smaller personal films.
Right. This is the voice of actor Zach Braff here on The Kevin and Bean Show, just announcing his Kickstarter page that is up as of a few hours ago. This is the first time Zach is talking to anybody about it.
Yes, you're getting the exclusive here.
The movie is called Wish I Was Here. If you are a Zach Braff fan, if you have loved his work throughout the years, the hard work he's been putting in since he was 12 years old to entertain you people, go to the Kickstarter page and you can make a contribution. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, because I know how the Kickstarter thing works, because I've supported a few myself. We're going to talk about what we get if we help you make this movie, Zach Braff. How's that sound?
That's perfect. You're the best.
We'll return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We are back on The Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Zach Braff in studio with us. How much money we made? You on the Kickstarter page right now? Is it working yet? Or is the cash register's ringing? What's going on, Zach?
I haven't looked since we've been talking.
Zach, if you're just joining us, Zach just announced that he has set up a Kickstarter page, a la the Veronica Mars movie, to get his new film made that he has written and will direct and will star in, that is called Wish I Was Here.
Yeah.
And you kind of blew my mind, Zach, the last time you were in, when you were telling us a little bit about, A, how hard it was to get Garden State made, but even more surprising to me, after the success of Garden State, how the only people who wanted to talk to you were people who wanted you to make the exact same movie all over again. Like, you couldn't go to them with something new. You don't build up any kind of equity with people, any kind of trust. Hey, I've done this before and it worked.
Maybe other people do. I certainly didn't. I mean, for a movie that was made for a tiny fraction of money and then made a ton, I thought I would have built up some equity. But I still, in trying to finance Wish I Was Here, this new film, in the traditional way, faced all the same obstacles. That is to say, I wouldn't have had a final cut of the film. I have to sign away to the financier, whatever the final edit of the movie is, up to them. So if they test it and something that doesn't agree with me at all tests higher, they get to choose that.
The money people should be making artistic decisions. Don't you agree, Zach?
You know, when you write your own film, that's like amputating an arm to give that away.
Well, it's insane. But, you know, in their defense, just to play devil's advocate, they're investing one person or one fund is investing a ton of money, and they want to protect that investment as much as possible. I get that. I understand how business works. But it really actually ends up hurting the audience, I think, in a lot of cases, because a lot of artists are then forced to cast actors that, although they may be wonderful actors, aren't necessarily right for the roles, but they just happen to be the most famous person interested and available. And it ends up creating something that isn't ideal. So when this Kickstarter campaign idea came about and I saw the success of Veronica Mars, I couldn't help think, I'm sure so many other filmmakers and artists of all kinds, God, maybe this could be a way where I could compromise less and actually give the audience 100% what's in my brain.
$2 million is the goal. That's what you're hoping to raise?
Yeah, that's our goal on the page, yeah.
And you think you'll be able to make the movie that you're hoping to make?
We'll have to augment that. I mean, basically, the structure is that the Kickstarter financing would take the place of a normal financier who is just putting up one single check. And so instead of one person writing it or one company writing it, it's, you know, 60,000, 70,000 people all contributing. So it gets there's less risk for everybody. And then in a traditional sense, you would then augment that with some foreign sales. And, of course, I'm putting some of my own money into it. It would be one piece of the puzzle.
It's a good start, though. What do you get if you're a Zach Braff fan and you go to the Kickstarter page right now, which we urge the Kevin and Bean listeners to do, and make a contribution to get this film made? What are the possibilities that the person can get?
Well, and there's a really wide array. I mean, anything from the script emailed to you up to having a line in the movie and a dozen things in between.
Sexy time with Zach Braff, is that on the list?
Yeah, an HJ's on there. there. HK's
say no more.
My publicist is shaking her head. No, I will say no more. No. In all seriousness, basically at the lowest level for $10, it's you're getting a copy of the script emailed to you, and you are joining this club because what it is it's essentially, well, the way I think about it is it's like a filmmaking club. You're going to join this club and think of all the cool stuff you get for DVD extras. You're going to be getting that whilst the movie's being made. So while we're making the movie, we're doing live vlogs, we're interviewing the cast, we're talking with the editors. If you're into filmmaking and behind the scenes stuff, it's going to kind of be like a live community of people talking and getting early music, for example, because the Garden State soundtrack was such a hit.
Didn't you win a Grammy for that?
I won a Grammy and it went platinum. And so for people who like that music and that style of music, they'll be there's another level. I think it's $15 where you're joining the Spotify account of the movie and getting new songs every week.
That's awesome.
And then, you know, then there's things like they're literally for more money. I'm literally leaving your outgoing voicemail message. I'm whoring myself to make my art. I'm doing anything and everything I can to make this piece of art.
I respect that, though. Yeah. You're not whoring yourself at all. You're willing to work. You're willing to work hard to get this movie made.
I'll do anything to get this movie made. Yeah. And I do want to say to people that this is this isn't me trying to. If I wanted to go make a lot of dough, I'd go back and do another TV show. This isn't about that. This is about getting enough money to execute this film, this little art independent movie that I think the fan base will really love, and then what's cool about it is the community created the movie, and the movie would have been happened whether you gave $10 or $1,000. You know, the movie never would have been made without you.
What's the deadline? Don't you have to put some sort of an end date on a Kickstarter campaign?
Yeah, it's a month, so
30 days,
roughly the 24th of May.
All right, so you can be a part of the Zach Braff film, Wish I Was Here. You can go to Kickstarter right now, and you can see the video. Let me play a clip from the video, because it's very funny. I don't want to give away any of the surprises in the video. I'm going to give away one of the surprises.
We had a lot of fun making the video, as you can imagine.
It's very funny, and you explain on tape for folks who come across it, kind of the same thing you've explained here, why you're making the movie. And Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory does stop in, and I think you'll get an idea. Zach explains very eloquently what the problem is with trying to get a movie made in Hollywood this year.
I have a new screenplay that I've written with my brother Adam entitled Wish I Was Here, and I'm facing a big problem. There are money guys willing to finance the project, but in order to protect their investment, they're insisting on having final cut. Also, they want to control how the film is cast. So let's say I wanted Jim Parsons to play the role of my friend. Okay, the money folks might say, what if instead of your best friend, he was sort of a sexy pool boy? And what if that sexy pool boy was played by Justin Bieber?
I want to play a sexy pool boy. There is no sexy pool boy in the movie. I want you to play my friend.
Why can't your friend also be a sexy pool boy?
Why would I be friends with a sexy pool boy? How did you get in here anyway?
I rappelled through the skylight. Just so you know, though, I am willing to tan and do push-ups.
I'm just saying, if Jim Parsons is not the sexy pool boy in the movie, I'm not interested. All right?
I know it's going to happen. People are going to be like, all right, I'll donate, but Jim Parsons has to be a sexy pool boy.
It's a very funny video, and thanks. I'm sure it's going to be viral and everywhere today, because this is big news. A filmmaker that we love, who's done great work in the past, is now asking for a little something-something back. I think you need to go to Kickstarter, you need to look for Zach Braff's video, and you need to make a donation, whatever you're interested in contributing.
Thank you. I promise,
and be part of it. Yeah,
and thank you. And I promise it'll be fun. I mean, I kind of like the idea of this club, and it's
I do too. It's great to have like an inside peek at all. I mean, when I go to see the movie after seeing all of that, it's going to be so much more satisfying.
Yeah, and there's going to be pre-visualization, and there's so many cool Hollywood folks that are excited about this idea, that everyone's been rallying around it, and I have an amazing crew already in place. And
I think it's going to work, Zaf. I know you're nervous about it, but I really do think it's going to work.
Yeah, I have no idea if it's going to work, but I hope people check it out. At least check out the video, folks. You'll laugh.
Absolutely. Hey, keep in touch, man. Let us know if there's anything else we can do for you.
Are you kidding me? I love it here. I have a cot set up.
Thanks, Zach. Ben Shepherd and Chris Cornell from Soundgarden join us in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Do a little bit of talking, a little bit of singing, a little bit of playing. That is coming up here on the world-famous K-Rock. I don't know how they've been able to do that at the NFL there, Ralph, but they managed to turn the Super Bowl into a two-week extravaganza, and then they managed to make Monday Night Football a thing, and then Sunday Night Football a thing, and then Thursday Night Football a thing, and then the kickoff of every new season is a thing, and now the NFL draft has become a thing.
It's always been a thing, Bean. But it's always been a thing.
But now it's a television spectacular with thousands of people bringing an amazing production for 47 hours of coverage on the NFL Network, and the best in the business hosting the whole thing is our friend Rich Eisen, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Eisen. Welcome back, sir.
Good morning. Good morning from New York City.
Rich, are you all rested up and ready to go?
I am.
I am. I'm hydrated. I'm limber.
Good. You want to pull something.
No, seriously. Yeah. And by something, you mean anything.
That's right.
It's a long time to be on TV, but I feel like we should raise money for charity. We're on so long, but
it's a telefraud.
It's wild.
I'd like to see you, Rich, just at the end with your bow tie undone and your tuxedo, just singing a song as you wrap things up.
Yeah, singing "You'll Never Walk Alone."
That's right.
Right.
So the rap on, of course, every year we learn that nobody knows anything, or we wouldn't live in a world where Russell Wilson was drafted at number 75 last year. So clearly there's, there's mystery going into every NFL draft. Nobody knows. But the rap this year seems to be that there aren't a tremendous amount of great players that lots of people are excited about. Am I wrong about that, Rich?
No, this is the most wide open, most question-filled draft that I've had in the 10 years that I've done this. And folks who have been around the draft far longer than that agree. Right now, as we are chatting, we have no idea who the first overall pick is. The only other time that it was something like that was in 2006 when the Texans were picking first, and everybody thought they would go Reggie Bush, and they went Mario Williams instead. But even that news broke the day before when they signed Mario Williams to a big fat contract the day before the draft. And with the new rookie scale, there's no need to sign somebody the day before the draft or make sure that their cost is fixed before picking them on the clock, because it's already fixed for them. So it is possible that when the commissioner puts the Chiefs on the clock at 8:04 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow night, that we still don't know who they're going to pick, and the Chiefs sort of will know, or they will know, but they'll be sitting there hoping their phone rings for somebody to maybe offer them a trade, and then off we go for what we're expecting, the most unpredictable draft we've done on NFL Network.
And, Rich, there's been a GM who's anonymously said that this is the worst NFL draft in 10 years.
You know, I had less need, the general manager of the Rams, who pulled off the RG3 trade last year and has two picks in this first round and will have two picks in next year's first round because of it, in addition to having two picks in the first round last year because of it. I had him on my podcast, which you can download on iTunes, and he said that this is like the election season right now. Every minute is like the election season. Don't believe a word anybody says about anything. Don't believe anything you hear, because while it may be true, it's most likely not.
Well, given all the busts from the first round over the years, how can anyone look at any draft and say whether it's good or bad?
Nobody knows. You know, I mean, as you pointed out, Russell Wilson was 75th overall. Colin Kaepernick was a second-round pick a couple of years ago. Tom Brady is the most famous example, being 199th overall.
Right.
You just never know. And that's part of what I like about our coverage. We take our cue from Mike Mayock, our draft maven, Charles Davis as well, Brian Billick, all the evaluators that we have as part of our crew. Is we don't have some sort of Holy Roman Emperor type reaction to the pick where we give them a thumbs up and they're great, or we throw the Lions. You know, we have no idea. We'll just tell you what the kid can do, what he will possibly do for the team that just drafted him, how he fits, and then you make the decision, and then we'll see how it all pans out. If the team is so lucky, it'll happen this fall like the Seahawks saw with Russell Wilson, or it might take a couple of years.
Is it because this QB class is less than sexy? There's not really one player that jumps out as the guy everyone's gunning for?
There's no doubt that that's part of the reason why, because, you know, the quarterback is the position that gets the most attention, and this year's quarterback class is not lighting anybody's fire.
Yeah.
I mean, last year Ryan Tannehill was the third quarterback selected overall, and he, in terms of our evaluators, is far head and shoulders above even what many people consider the top quarterback in this year's draft, Geno Smith.
Right.
That said, you know, Jacksonville picked second overall, might go and get him. It might actually happen, and there you still have a quarterback chosen second overall when everybody thinks that if Jacksonville doesn't take him, he might slip all the way out of the first round of the draft because of what everybody else has already done in the offseason getting a quarterback. And you don't choose a quarterback in the top 10 of a draft just to sit him anymore. That just doesn't happen in the NFL anymore.
This is the voice of Rich Eisen from the NFL Network here on the Kevin DeBean Show, talking about their continuing coverage that they'll have starting tomorrow at 10 a.m., I guess, West Coast time, and all weekend long about this year's NFL draft. Let me ask you a question about a team that's still inexplicably to me near and dear to a lot of Kevin DeBean listeners' hearts, and that's the Oakland Raiders. Why have they perennially been the worst team ever at drafts?
Well, that's a good question. a lot of people say that Al Davis was the man in charge, and to use the Godfather phrase, the Don, rest his soul, was slipping. and that's part of the reason why. The trade for Carson Palmer set them back. Palmer was traded away just this offseason, and for nothing near the first and second round selections that they've gave up. They gave up a first round last year, didn't choose one, and this year they would have been sitting at the top of the second round, but that is Cincinnati's pick now because of the Carson Palmer trade. So they've made some tough decisions, and for some reason their first round selections just don't pan out, and they bust in a miserable way too. So hopefully they've got the right people in place and can start moving in a different direction, because the league's better when the Raiders are good. Both Bay Area teams, I would say that about. The league is better when the Niners and the Raiders are good. It's just a great area in Northern California for sports in general. And for the NFL, there's just such great lush history with the Bay Area teams.
Sure.
I hope the Raiders turn it around.
Rich, did you get a chance to see, I know you're very busy this week in particular, but you get a chance to see any of the 30 for 30 last night in the 83 draft?
I did not. I am a native New Yorker, and it had been over a decade since I was in Madison Square Garden with the Knicks and Celtics playing a playoff game last night.
Fine.
I went did that. I had not been back in the arena in which I essentially grew up, and Madison Square Garden, but I missed it. But people are telling me it was terrific.
Well, it's phenomenal, and I'm so glad I saw it last night just to kind of refresh my BS meter so that I know what to look for this weekend as I'm watching your NFL Network coverage, because you see guys like Jim Kelly, who literally cried when he got picked by the Bills, and then the next minute he's on the phone with the media going, I'm thrilled to be part of the Buffalo organization. I can't wait to get up there and play. And it's just so funny to see all the posture that goes on with these players that have to say this. And I know we're going to see a lot of those kinds of interviews this weekend, which is going to be hilarious now to me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but it is truly, you know, the moment that these kids have been waiting for. And it is the culmination of a very long journey that takes a lot of sacrifice or a lot of hard work. And, you know, like to that point when a lot of these kids are getting drafted and are going to be in Radio City stepping on the stage, we've culled childhood photographs for virtually every single one of these players. And you'll see them as toddlers and then in their first football uniforms and growing up, because this is it. And you'll see a lot of emotion when Vernon Davis got drafted a few years ago. He was bawling like a child on the telephone, which is also one of the shots we're not showing you anymore, because nothing cuts the commissioner's announcement out at the knees more than a shot of a prospect on a telephone, because that just shows you they've been drafted. So it's part of our draft coverage. So all those moments you're not going to see on TV live anymore, let's put it that way.
And, you know, for a lot of these guys, this is as good as it gets, because the NFL career, as we know, is a one with a lot of question marks, and this may be the pinnacle for some of these guys.
Well, I think about that every year. I'm at the Rookie Symposium, where every drafted player is required to go. All 256 players that are drafted are going to be required to be at a Rookie Symposium in June, where the league essentially lets them know the realities of life as an NFL player, and they learn everything from any possible pitfall that might hit them.
What not to tweet.
Or what not to tweet. You're not wrong. By the way, also learning how to balance a checkbook, if they need to know that. Also, they hear speeches from players who have been there and done that. I look out there and I think half this room that has just had the greatest professional moment happen to them in their entire lives, on average, half of that room by age 26 will have to figure out something else to do.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
It is a big moment that they should soak in.
Well, you've got phenomenal coverage lined up, and I know you've got the all-star team, everybody from, Kurt Warner to Marshall Faulk to Michael Irwin, Deion Sanders are all going to be there.
I love Mailock's take on the draft.
Mailock, awesome. Yeah, he's there. You got coverage from all over the country. I know you guys are live throughout the United States, and you're going to be anchoring that coverage right there at Radio City. It's going to be great. So the kickoff is tomorrow at 10 a.m. our time and following it all week long, the 2013 NFL Draft. Rich, we love you, man. We miss you. Thanks for the time today. We really enjoyed it.
I would be remiss if I also didn't say tonight at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Is my draft special. I interview the commissioner, Michael Strahan, from his new chair. He went from Giant Stadium to Regis Philbin's chair next to Kelly Ripa.
Sure.
And Josh Charles of The Good Wife, who's a big Ravens fan. I chat with all of them tonight on NFL Network, half-hour special, 9 Eastern.
Sounds great, Rich. Talk to you soon, man. Thank
Take
you so
care,
much.
Guys. Bye.
If you love football like we do, how about this? A free $50 NFL Network prize pack that includes an NFL Network mesh bag, NFL Network t-shirt, NFL Network water bottle, and NFL Network draft earbuds. Not kidding. You can call right now and win. First five callers through at 1-800-520-1067. We're just a few months away from football, Ralph. Come on.
It's the best, and I hate baseball so much.
And Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up next to the world famous.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. Ben Shepherd and Chris Cornell from Soundgarden will be in here right after the top of the hour. Don't forget, at 9, we start giving away tickets for The Troubadour and Depeche Mode. We've got them for you every half hour here on KROQ starting at 9 a.m. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
Inexplicable news, horrible news, beyond comprehension. It is a national crisis.
Uh-oh.
And I hope you're with your loved ones or your family, your friends, and you're banding together to try to get through this.
I don't like the sound of this. What's going on?
Horrible, horrible news broke today that People Magazine has named Gwyneth Paltrow the world's most beautiful woman.
Fire beer mug.
Everyone, people are calling in sick to work. They're pulling their kids out of school. They're digging into their stash of canned goods and fresh drinking water. It is an apocalypse unlike any we've seen in the entertainment news in some time.
It's like finding out the U.S. president is the Antichrist.
Yeah. A lot of people thought the AP News was hacked. Actually, when they read the tweet that Gwyneth Paltrow was named the world's most beautiful woman, but actually, no, it is true. People Magazine put her on the cover and put those words on the cover as well, and a nation mourns.
Lisa, let me ask this, because you speak for all chicks.
Okay.
Is she like some sort of goddess for women because she has it all?
Well, I don't think... No.
I'm sure there's
a certain proportion of women that admire her.
She's married to a rock star. She's got beautiful kids. She's got a very successful career.
Seems like she is cooking at home and, doesn't have lots of nannies
she's
and
just
stuff.
Like us. She's just like
us. I'm just
like
trying to
us.
Figure out what People Magazine is trying to do with this pick, besides confound us.
Well, it's Iron Man 3. That's all it is.
It's got to be. It's got to be
That's
just
it.
A big promo push, right?
Yeah. There's no other reason.
Someone wrote somebody a check. It's the only way it can happen. Yeah. It is. It's the apocalypse. It's the end times. Things are spinning out of control. The DIY Network. You familiar with the DIY? The
Do It Yourself?
Yeah.
I've seen that, yeah.
They have announced their new show, Vanilla Ice Goes Amish.
You're kidding.
This will happen.
This is again, from The Onion?
Show. No, this is for reals. Vanilla Ice will go to live in an Amish community in Ohio to learn how they do construction. I'm guessing with a lot of nails and wood.
Amazing.
Vanilla Ice already has a renovation series on that same said network that will return for its fourth season this fall. It's been on for 4 years. I'm just hearing about it.
Yeah.
By the way, it's not over yet. Reverend Run of Run DMC will have a series starring his wife and his kids as they renovate their home. And Daryl Hall of Hall & Oates will have a series as he renovates a farmhouse. What the hell's happening? DIY has become the love boat for musicians. That's where you go when your career's over. Just pick up a hammer and go on DIY.
Unbelievable.
It's madness.
All right, so I'll put you down as a no.
Yeah, put me down for a no. While we're talking about music and showbiz intertwining, they are doing a film about legendary Beach Boy Brian Wilson called Love and Mercy. I know you're a big Beach Boy fan, Bean, but for those of us who are just, you know, marginal fans, Love and Mercy promises to be an in-depth look at Brian, not only his salad days with the Beach Boys, but also his mental illness, his battles with substance abuse. Interesting. They're going to cast two different actors. One to play Beach Boys young era Brian Wilson. Another one to play older
talks like this, Brian Wilson.
I hope you get it.
I do, too.
That'd be awesome.
I would love that. Just grow my beard and just sit in a sandbox in my living room, banging on the piano.
This is my new song. I hope you like it. It really means a lot to me. And I think Dr. Landry would approve.
Can you sing a little I Get Around, a little Surfing USA something for us, Ralph, just so we get a feel for how that would go?
We're getting bugged, driving up and down the same old trip. We gotta find a new place where the kids are hip.
You are hired.
I wish. John Cusack, apparently in talks to play older Brian.
Well, he's got to gain a bunch of weight then.
Meanwhile, Paul Dano of Looper and of, what was that? Drink Your Milkshake. What was that movie?
There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood.
Yep.
We'll play younger Brian.
That's good casting. I can see that.
Glory Days, 60s Beach Boy Brian.
Genius.
Well, you would know, Rodney. You love the Beach Boy.
She's giving me good vibrations. I'm picking up the expectations.
Ralph, I don't know. And I know
Dr.
we have...
Andrew. Dr. Andrew around?
I know we don't have...
Pills. Where are my pills, Dr. Andrew?
I know we don't have much time here because our guests are standing by, but God, I wish we had the tape. I was a huge, still am, a huge Brian Wilson fan, and Kevin and I got the opportunity to interview Brian in the fallow years, the early 1990s, and we went and taped him, and it was so
unusable.
Sad. It was so sad. I mean, like, now I feel like we would have just played it and embarrassed him and felt good about it, but back then we couldn't. We didn't have this hard
you had souls.
Shell. Yeah. Right. So we never played it. But, I mean, it was so sad. And he played a rap version of some Beach Boys song that he had recorded in the studio that, thank God, was never released. You can't believe how bad it was to hear Brian Williams try to rap.
That's the best.
But we never played it. I have no idea where the tape ended up. I mean, but, oh, my God, it was so sad just to talk. I mean, he was obviously mentally damaged, and we just couldn't do it.
Was it that Brian Wilson, Nate Dogg duet we've all been looking for?
It sounded like that, oh, yeah.
Sadly. All right. Damn, I'm out of time. All right, next hour. Next hour, I got a new moment with. We'll play that through the next
hour.
Yeah.
Is it me?
Yeah. It's magic. Today's celebrity birthday is Shirley MacLaine is 79 years old. Singer, actress, director, icon. Barbra Streisand is 71. David Jay from Love and Rockets and Bauhaus, he's 56 years old. Cedric the Entertainer is 49. Jamin Huntsu celebrates 49 years today. Melinda Clark, formerly of the OC and Entourage, other projects, 44 years old. Eric Balfour is 36 years old. Kelly Clarkson's 31. Tyson Ritter of All-American Rejects is 29. And Catherine Webb from Splash and from other places.
Just being in the stands at the Rose Bowl, basically.
I met her. I met her at that Adam West Batman unveiling when they did all the classic 60s rollout of all those new products and merchandise.
You said she was lovely.
She was just lovely, stunning, and just tall, like an Amazon, just giant and just breathtaking. Lovely girl. She's 42. She's 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
1 hour from right now, William Shatner joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we open up the phones to start giving away tickets for Depeche Mode at the Troubadour. How's that for a show? Guys, yeah. From Soundgarden, welcome.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Chris and Ben, what's going on? How you been? What brings you by today?
We were just in the neighborhood, and we thought we would stop by.
Got some bagels and saw us up the street.
Well, yeah, we were out front signing people's guitars, and I thought, God, isn't that K-Rock? Let's go inside.
Let's just go in. Let's just bust in.
And Ben said, yeah, that's that station they have the weenie roast, right? Yeah. That's
us.
That's
we don't know anything. We don't know anything about the weenie roast, and we're not allowed to talk about the weenie roast. In fact, the word came down that we're not even allowed to say the W word until Friday morning at 9, apparently. So
really?
Shame on you. Shame on you.
Wow.
Last hour.
There's no memo that says don't talk about
there's none in here. No. Nope.
Yeah. The word has been handed down to us. We're not allowed to discuss it, although it is happening very, very soon. Speaking of Soundgarden, let me tell you who was here last hour. Zach Braff was in here, you guys. And he was so excited. He was, first of all, bummed that he couldn't stick around because he had a plane to catch. But he was so excited that you were coming in that he recorded this announcement for you. You guys like Zach Braff? You know who we're talking about here from Scrubs? And, yeah.
Garden State.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if you don't know him, because he loves you. Here's his announcement that he recorded for us.
Hi, I'm Zach Braff, and Chris Cornell's voice gives me a boner.
So there you go. I think it's
quite an endorsement, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So what's new in Soundgarden land? How's the tour been going, the Reformation tour and album? Is it everything you hoped it would be?
It's great, yeah. I mean, it's sort of every day is kind of a new day, really, which is sort of the whole point, I suppose, of getting back together and doing what we do, you know. It's not like we're reliving past glories or, you know, doing something that feels like, you know, remnants of 15 years ago. It's happening, and it's now, and it's sort of moving forward.
And you feel like a real, live, current, working band rather than just, all right, we got to get together and get out there and pay our bills. You know, it's not desperate.
We didn't have to put makeup back on either. Yeah. No, we didn't. We did, but we didn't have to.
Did you find when you hit the road and, you know, after the release of the album in November, did you find that you were developing new fans and all of a sudden you were bringing, you know, people were coming to see Soundgarden that, you know, were just kind of getting into you, just discovering you?
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of, like, the amount of time we had not playing shows, which was like 14 years. So if you see someone that looks like they're anywhere, you know, in their late teens or 20s, you know they're new fans. It's guaranteed. And there was a lot of them. You know, they're wearing T-shirts and stuff. And, you know, it reminds me of me when I was 16 or 17 and finding, sort of uncovering a rock band that has a long history and then wanting to jump into it and listen to all their old music. And I think that's one of the great things about King Animal is that it's not something that sort of lives outside of the rest of our body of work. So if some new fan that's into rock music hears it and likes it, then they can go back and buy one of our older records and they're not going to be totally disappointed or
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely is. There's definitely a through line. And, you know, I pulled it off the shelf yesterday. I'm still old school, guys. I still actually buy the CDs rather than download everything because I love having something in my hand that I, you know, like so many people, I love the liner notes and the artwork and everything that you don't get with the iTunes. And I put it on, just blasted it throughout the house yesterday and had forgotten how much it rocks. I mean, you guys didn't lose a step in 14 years.
I don't think so. Well, we all, you know, kept playing music. And
of course. Yeah.
And it didn't feel like us. I think we all had that attitude, too, before we even started making the record, that it wasn't going to be some sort of learning how to function again as a band and rediscover how, you know, our inspiration. That didn't happen at all. We just immediately took off, really.
Right. Speaking of the long tradition of rock and roll history and your place in it, you guys were at, well, at least I know you were, Chris. Ben, were you also at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony the other night?
Yes, ma'am.
And is that, I know we see an edited version of that and will in a couple of weeks here on HBO, but is that like a super fun night for you guys? Do you guys geek out as music fans when you're there, when you're surrounded by some of those people?
I tripped out on seeing John Fogerty there and sitting next to Quincy Jones.
Wow. Yeah.
Other than that, I was extremely self-conscious because we were sitting right in front. I was like, oh, my God, what am I doing here? Got to get out of here.
I always love that when guys like you have been, you know, doing it for a long time and have your fair share of fans. When the tables are flipped and you're around people that you really admire, I wonder if that ever goes away with as successful and as famous as you guys have gotten. And it sounds like it doesn't.
No, I got to play on stage with Rush and just, the, you know, with the, like, 30 other people, but it didn't matter. It kind of occurred to me during a rehearsal as the song ended, and I looked back to cue off of the drummer. The drummer was Neil Peart, and I was cueing off Neil Peart, and that freaked me out. It was pretty amazing because that's not something that I ever would have thought about happening, you know. And then when it happens, it's all kind of this weird dreamscape. It doesn't feel real. It's not something that, you know, just you're there, and there it is, and it happens. And it was pretty great. John Fogerty was amazing. And maybe we got lucky, too, because you never know. Sometimes you'll meet somebody that you're a fan of for years and years and years, and they had a bad day, and so they hate you.
Yeah.
And it's important to always remember.
The human quality is really cool to see that there's other people out.
Yeah.
And you happened to be there this year when your friends in Heart were being inducted too, I imagine made you feel good, right?
Yeah, that actually made me feel better about the whole Rock and Roll Hall of Fame thing to see Rush and Hart at the same time, and like a band like Public Enemy too.
Right.
It's like diverse cross section of groups, and also you could definitely got a feeling from all three of those groups that their fans had a lot to do with it, and that makes me feel good too. That the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame seems definitely aware that the fans have a voice, and to me that's kind of what makes it a good thing.
You know, for me it was like, wow, Chris gets to induct the Hart. Kidding me? I'm going to that. No way. I'm not going to miss that. You know, that my friend getting to induct Hart. These gracious, badass people. So cool.
And it was great to induct them and then watch them go on stage and then play their songs, knowing that it's just going to blow everybody away.
Sure.
Because they're so amazing.
Well, I saw them in that Kennedy Center tribute that they did to Led Zeppelin a couple of months ago, and I was—I knew that they were a great band, but I mean, they were amazing. And Anne's voice—I mean, it's incredible.
You get addicted to it.
Isn't Soundgarden eligible now? Hasn't it been 25 years since
Never heard of them.
Yeah, we're eligible. I think.
So, all you know, you could be on the ballot next year. You might be thinking about your own acceptance speech.
I think that should be like a long time from now. It's just kind of soon.
Yeah.
Like, who cares anyway? Like, it doesn't matter if we're in our 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, 70s. Yeah. It's fine. It's something to look forward to.
Does it feel like 25 years ago you came out with the first record?
It depends on what memory I'm thinking of. Some of them it seems like 125 years ago, and then some of it seems like it was just maybe 10 years ago.
25 years ago.
It goes by fast, though, guys. It goes by fast. Soundgarden's latest record is available everywhere. It is called King Animal. And if you haven't heard it yet, you're doing yourself a disservice, because I know you love Soundgarden, and this record just fits so nicely along with all the other stuff. And you got a new single called Halfway There. And as I understand, you're going to perform that, maybe something else for us in the other room. Is that the plan? Is this too early to even ask you guys to sing and play?
You know what? We warmed up and did a sound check. That's and it seemed okay. Yeah.
All right. We're
going to take the theme song to Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to that, and we'll take a break and come back. Ben Shepherd, Chris Cornelli here from the band Soundgarden.
And we want to talk to William Shatner, too. In fact, we want to kind of interview him.
Stick around for the captain. That's all coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock. Chris Cornell singing and playing the rhythm guitar. Ben Shepherd playing the bass and some backing vocals from the band Soundgarden, of course, here in the studios of the world famous K-Rock. You guys are going to do a couple numbers for us. What are we going to hear first?
We're gonna hear Halfway There.
Love it. That's the new single from the King Animal album. Do we need to know anything about this song?
Not really, no.
Just please enjoy.
Exactly.
Let's do it.
With my feet nailed down in my hair, moving the speed of sound. Had a dream I was caught in a maze and I couldn't find my way back out. Some were born to move mountains around and some to rot away in jail. I get an itch and when I am scratching, everything can go to hell. And how far is halfway there? I didn't see you on the trail now. Did almost become good enough? Should a good life be so hard won? Is that what our dreams have become? Sometimes when you're shooting an arrow, it can fly across the sky so proud. I would go all the way to the sun if I didn't have to come back down. And how far is halfway there? I didn't see you on the trail now. Did almost become good enough? Should a good life be so hard?
Is that what our dreams have become? Yeah. Have become. Yeah. Got a car and somewhere to sleep, someone who loves you, and something to eat. I would say you're doing better than most, though maybe not as well as some. And how far is halfway there? I didn't see you on the trail now. You should a good life be so hard won? Is that what our dreams have become? Is that what our dreams have become?
Ooh. How about that, ladies and gentlemen? Ben and Chris from Soundgarden. Here are the world-famous K-Rock. You guys have sold over 22 million records worldwide, by the way, in your long career.
Oh, we did that today.
Just since you've been on the show.
Well,
today.
We were out front, and we were signing guitars, and the band had some records and a couple trucks. And
and my point is that it all starts with, I mean, really just a guy and a guitar, you know, getting a song beginning. I mean, I imagine that's how these songs get started when they're written, right?
That's how we do
it. Doodling around.
A beginning is all you really need.
And exactly, that, you know, yeah.
All four of us write, so it's... We always have a lot of beginnings. We have a lot of middles, and we have a lot of parts that come and go.
Do you end up starting dozens of songs before you settle on some that stick?
We're weirdly focused that way, and most of the songs that we finish writing end up on a record.
I mean, oh, wow. That's nice. You're not wasting a lot of time then on things that don't pan out.
No, we've had a lot of arguments over the years about B-sides and
sure.
You know, record companies will always talk about that before the record is done, and like, you know, we'll need extra songs for B-sides. And the theory has always been that you choose the great songs for your album and then put the crappier ones out, you know, as B-sides. And our feeling was always like, if they're crappy, we don't really want to put them out.
Right.
And if we actually bother to write them and finish them and arrange them and record them, we probably want them on the album. So we have,
that makes sense.
So we have pretty, like, we have epic length albums. Really Super Unknown and Down the Upside are the maximum length that you could put on a CD.
Right, and, right.
So those were both, when we pressed them to vinyl, they were both double albums.
Gotcha. We got time for one more since you're here and you're set up. Would you mind?
Not at all.
Anything you like.
Whatsoever I feared has come to light. Whatsoever I thought of became my life. Just when every day seemed to greet me with a smile, sunspots are fading. Now I'm doing time. Now I'm doing time. I fell on black days. I fell on black days. Whomsoever I've cured, I've sickened now. Whomsoever I've cradled, I've put you down. So they say, I can't see it in the night. I'm only baking. When I get it right, when I get it right,
black days I fell on. Black days, how would I know that this could be my fate? How would I know that this could be my fate? Wanted to see good has made you blind. What you wanted to be yours has made it mine. So don't you lock up something that you wanted to see fly. Hands up and shaking, now tying, now tying. Should have mind the change. I should have mind the change. I should have mind the change. 'Cause I fell on black days. Fell on black days. How would I know that this could be my fate? How would I know that this could be my fate? How would I know that this could be my should don't mind the change.
Hi, I'm Zach Braff, and Chris Cornell's voice gives me a boner.
That was one of the greatest live performances on the Kevin and Bean Show ever, boys. Thank you so much for
Thank
that.
You.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow, that sounded great. Soundgarden fan and Kevin and Bean listener Slevin writes in to remind other listeners, by the way, that the new Soundgarden record, which just came out in November, King Animal, is on iTunes today for just $7.99. You guys can't be happy about that.
Well, we're selling them for $13.99 outside.
Seems like an awful lot of work to put into for somebody to be able to buy for $8, but you can buy the new Soundgarden record for $7.99, and you should, because it is terrific. Chris, Ben, thank you so much for the time, man. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Wednesday means our old friend, the Ace Man, Adam Carolla, back on the phone from AdamCarolla.com. What's going on, Ace?
Oh, man, what isn't not going on anytime?
Well, that's an excellent point. I see once again you're taking over the Amalfi Restaurant. That's at North La Brea Avenue, 143 North La Brea Avenue, Los Angeles. I am unfamiliar, I will be honest, for the live podcast and Mangria Tasting. Your special guest is Joe Kay. Who is Joe Kay, Adam?
Joe Coy. Asian comedian, very funny. I think he used to be on, I don't know, whatever that Fox comedy show was for a million
years. But the point is, he's hilarious and your listeners will enjoy him.
Who cares? I'm funny enough for the both of us.
That's right. Adam has carried a lot of people on his back, and he can carry Joe Coy, for God's sakes. Tickets are available at the door on a first-come, first-served basis. Doors open at 5:30. Show starts at 7, and your ticket includes a glass of red or white Mangria. Adam is here for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Starting at 3 and working my way up to number 1. First, number 3. I realize I've always known how lazy the namings of these chicks magazines are, and just magazines in general are, but then it really came home to roost on Friday. I was down to Long Beach Grand Prix, and they did what they do every year, which is People Magazine donates $15,000 to the charity of the person, of the celebrity, I should say, who sets the fastest lap. So for the celebrity who gets the pole position, as they say, they get $15,000 to the charity from People Magazine. Rutledge Wood from Top Gear won it, and he got up in front of this huge crowd with people taking pictures, and he said, I want to thank people. And then I realized, that doesn't really make any sense. I mean, the magazine is called People Magazine, but it's a horrible name because when people thank you, you just said, he literally said, I want to thank people for their generosity. Well, that's pretty broad.
That is.
I mean, you're technically, you're including the guys who bombed Boston in your group of people you just thanked.
Sure, yeah.
And everyone is alive right now, and maybe even who came before you. So I thought, People's no good. And then I thought, what if Us Magazine gave you the check? Then you just thank Us? That doesn't make sense. And then here'd be the surreal one. What if Time Magazine gave the pole position award out? I want to thank Time. And now you're getting heavy on me. It's like I've been taking mushrooms. I just think, you know, this is where porn got it right, you know, milking and popping, blacktail, you know what I mean? It's not just People or Us or Shape or all this crap.
Yeah, put a little effort into naming your magazine. That's what you're saying.
How lazy is Us? We got them and him and then eventually just a grunt. Magazine. Yeah, put some time into it, and pardon the pun, and that way, people, you could get thanked and not lumped in with all the other people. Number two, I found out about this yesterday. You know those poor women that were, like, napping in their Tundra when the L.A.'s finest decided to pump 100 rounds into the headrest of their pickup truck thinking it was Dormer?
Yeah, because, yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, because I had my suspicions, too. Like, first when they were showing pictures of Dormer, I was like, is that really a 6'8", 300-pound black man or two smallish Hispanic elderly women on each other's shoulders
right.
with a duster on and a black man's mask? So you never can tell exactly what you're dealing with. But either way, those women got themselves a new Toyota pickup truck and $4.2 million from the LAPD. But as I always say, from the LAPD or from us?
Us, the taxpayer. We, right.
yeah. we paid the $4.2 million. And the guys who do all the shooting, first thing they do is they get paid leave and they go home, which I wish someone would just pay me to go home. And then secondly, they go, well, now you're going to have to sit out. You have to sit by a desk. Great. I can sit in an air-conditioned room instead of, you know, duking it out with the Crips and the Bloods and get the same pay. Hardly punishment. All I'm saying is this. LAPD, you guys F up all the time, and we just pay for it every time you F up. So what's your incentive not to F up? I have a great idea. After one of these crazy settlements where you tackle the pregnant chick in the parking lot and start kneeing her, or go Rodney King on someone's ass, or pump 100 rounds in the back of a couple Mexican ladies' pickup truck, how about the next day, no chicken-ass parking tickets? How about the next day is a ticket-free day for the citizens who have to pay for your incompetence?
We get a little something back.
We get to park wherever we want for one day. I wouldn't gripe. I really would. It's like, yeah, look, when the Lakers hold their opponent to under 100 points, everyone gets a taco from Jack in the Box. It's one of those things. It's a little something-something for us who are going to have to pay for your wild incompetence.
See, this is all Adam's trying to do. Is just try to make the world a little bit more fair for people.
Uh-huh.
And the next time you think about, you know, emptying a clip from your 9mm in the back of two small people instead of one big person, maybe you think about it. Maybe you think about all the free parking that's going on the next day.
Done.
And number one, this one I'm in love with. It's a little blowhardy, but I'm in love with it. I told a guy who worked for me the other day to do something, and he looked at me and he said, I will do my best. And I paused and I said, I don't want you to do your best. Do my best. Because your best isn't that good. My best is fantastic. So instead of your best, do my best. And he thought I was a blowhard, but I made my point. And I think this is a new way to go. Like, remember Big Tad, Kevin?
Sure, yeah, of course. We never forget Tad.
Would you want him doing his best?
Nope, not good enough.
Not good enough. You want him doing your best.
Right.
I think the new answer to the boss man is, I'll do your best.
I like
my
it.
My best. You're
You're a glorified goober. You don't want Big Cat's best.
That's right.
His best is not even up to you on a bad day. So the new answer from this point on, when the boss man says do something, go, I will do your best.
I like it. Adam Carolla is doing his best tonight at the Amalfi Restaurant, North La Brea Avenue in Los Angeles. Doors open at 5:30. Show is at 7. Free Mangria with your ticket. And don't forget, this Sunday, live podcast and Mangria tasting is also going to be happening down in Corona. That's at the M15 Concert Bar and Grill. You can get details and tickets and the podcast and the whole deal at adamcarolla.com. Thanks, Ace Man. Talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Well, we just had Zach Braff in the studio this morning talking about his Kickstarter for his film he's trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
Wish I Was There, Wish You Were Here, Wish We Were All Together. What the hell's the name of it?
I think it's Wish I Was There.
I Was There, yeah. So I wanted to throw it to our Kickstarter correspondent, Dave Sanchez, the King of Mexico. He always keeps track of all the Kickstarter numbers for us. It's been a tradition since the Veronica Mars days. So all I want to throw this to Dave and get an update. Dave, can you tell us how Zach's Kickstarter is doing, please?
We are at 382972.
Wow!
That's awesome.
$82,000 he's raised since the thing went live this morning?
Yep.
That's pretty impressive.
So there you go.
I think he'll make his goal.
I'm glad you speak Dave, because when he rattles off numbers like that, I always think he's giving us a phone number.
Yeah, why can't he say it like we do in English?
He can't. That's how he gives numbers. It's inexplicable. You have to jot it down and do some math before you actually know what he's talking about. So congratulations, Zach. That's a nice start. Hope things go well. Speaking of Zach, we had him on the show, and I like him. I'm a fan. I guess Bean has no respect for him. But,
what? Why are you saying that?
What are you talking about? I'm a huge Zach Braff fan.
Can't tell by the way the interview ended. Let's take a listen to a moment with Bean, shall we?
And now, a moment with Bean.
I think it's going to work, Zach. I know you're nervous.
That was a moment with Bean.
Yeah, Zach. Good for you,
first
Zach.
Of all,
you could say the man's name. I just
I'm
got
very
respect.
Busy. I'm very busy, Ralph. I don't have time.
Is that his media tag, like J-Lo? You want to call him Zaff now?
Zach Braff is equals Zaff, yes.
Zaff. Dumb. All right. I guess Gus Van Sant really wants to be the director of 50 Shades of Grey. So much so that he is prepping his own screen test for the film. Now you say, how does a director do a screen test? Well, you cast and shoot your own explicit, nasty, down-and-dirty sex scene. And that's what he's done. Gus Van Sant, the Oscar-nominated director, got Alex Pettyfer of Magic Mike and I Am 4 fame and had him knock boots with this chick, and he shot it, and he wants to use that as proof that he can shoot the movie for Universal. He wants to give it to them and say, look, let me do it, because look at this. I can shoot two people having sex.
You can always sell it as porn.
If that's the case, maybe Farrah Abraham should get a shot at directing the
That's
the film.
A good point. Interesting.
No word on whether Pettyfer will be cast as Gray or not, but he was cast for the test shoot. So we'll see if that works for Gus or not. Apparently, he's very hot to direct this film. I bet he was very hot during the scene too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great racket. Yeah, I want to direct. I want to direct something. Can you just get naked for me and bang? And I'm going to.
And I'm
going to.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's good. Thanks, everybody. It's a wrap. NBC, what's wrong with you? Seriously, what are you doing?
What?
Hey, NBC, what are you doing? They've just announced their newest show. The Million Second Quiz is its name.
Uh-oh, do we have to go back to Dave for some math?
No.
How long's a million seconds?
Apparently it's 12 days. Listen to this. It is a 12-day, 24/7 live competition where contestants test the limits of their knowledge and endurance and will battle each other in intense bouts of trivia from inside an hourglass in which they will also live. This sounds like a parody.
Hold on a second. What do you mean it's a 24/7 trivia game?
God damn it.
So it's like Big Brother,
right.
Except they're in an hourglass.
And they constantly have to answer trivia questions
and they
while
pelt them with trivia?
While they're living inside an hourglass.
That's a terrible idea.
Yes.
NBC's, can they sleep?
NBC's calling it the first fully convergent television experience because local stations will also be able to interact live throughout the day with the people living inside the hourglass. And viewers at home will be able to also play the game and maybe earn a spot on the show and also live inside the hourglass while being outside of it while they're asking trivia questions and also battling endurance and trivia and endurance and their own knowledge inside an hourglass while people check in with them.
And do you get, if you get a question wrong, do you get kicked out of the house?
The hourglass?
Not a house.
The hourglass,
the hourglass slowly turns.
I hope sand's, I hope sand is
that
pouring
would be
down
cool.
while they're inside.
Now, that would be endurance.
And if you don't answer the question, you just get smothered in sand. Listen, look,
insane.
It's way too much, too complicated to point. Shut up, NBC, is what we're saying. Shut up. This sounds just smells of such desperation. So anyway, they're saying it's going to change television as we know it.
It's going to change the channel from NBC is what it's going to do.
The Million Second Quiz is a genre-redefining spectacle.
Dave, let's get our little pal Mike Schneider on from TV Guide tomorrow and find out what he knows about this show.
We got to
get some details on this. And how can Beer Mug be a contestant?
The Million Second Quiz.
Right?
Instead of saying the 12-day quiz, they have to make it sound more intense. That's like when I was on Joe Schmo and I'd say, now one quarter of you might earn almost one-tenth of a half of $1 million.
Stop it. The fact that it's 24-7, as Lisa says, they pelt you with trivia questions. I mean, do they come in and like shake you awake at 3 a.m.
Hey,
and say,
hey,
who's the 16th president?
Hey, come on.
I hope so.
And local folks are saying, you know what? We interrupt this program to check in with the people living inside the hourglass.
Yep.
To see if what they know, how many actors played Marcia Brady. And Ryan Lochte is announced
the smartest man in the world.
He wants to hang up his Speedo soon. He's got new dreams, new goals.
He's going to be an actor?
No, Lisa, no, oh, no. He's okay. Got loftier goals than that. He wants to be a clothing designer.
Oh.
You know, if I was a real clothing designer, I'd be so furious. Because it seems like any douchebag can do it.
Get a clothing line.
They can get a clothing line. They get in the business and just sell their clothing. And if I was actually someone who went to school for this and was trying to get a foothold in the fashion industry, I'd be furious at the fact that Farrah Abraham is going to release a line of bikinis or whatever the hell she's going to do. And now Ryan Lochte wants to design clothes.
All he wears are Speedos.
Right. His line's going to be shoes, Lisa.
Oh.
Of course.
Man who spent his entire career barefoot is going to create a line of shoes and glitzy
obviously.
Accessories. Say, friends, the good news is,
obviously,
according to E! Network, is he's going to do it from inside an hourglass while being pelted with trivia questions as sand pours down on him, and he has to find true love with a mix of one of the several girls who live in a house who are trying to lose weight while they dive off a high dive platform into a pool of water.
Let's just take every show ever and mix it up into one.
It's the end times, people. I'm warning
you. It is the end times.
Today's celebrity birthdays. The hour's near. This is celebrity birthdays. Shirley MacLaine, 79. Barbra Streisand, 71. David Jay of Love and Rockets fame and Bauhaus. He is 56 years old today. Cedric the Entertainer is 49. Jamin Huntsu is 49. Linda Clark turns 44 years old today. I'd say pound for pound, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better 44 than Melinda Clark, my friend.
Yeah, she looks good.
Eric Balfour is 36. Kelly Clarkson turns 31. Tyson Ritter of All-American Rejects is 29. And Splash contestant Catherine Webb celebrates her 24th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Ben Hugo from Chino. Latest Kevin and Bean Lister to win tickets to Troubadour Friday night, Depeche Mode, huge band, tiny place. We've got them for you every half hour all day long today on K-Rock until 8 o'clock tonight. And then I'll have them for you again tomorrow. And then, of course, on Friday, that event is happening Friday night. You cannot buy those tickets. You can win your way in from the world-famous K-Rock. Speaking of great events going on this weekend, Lisa.
Yes.
Burbank, once again, the site of the 23rd annual Priceline.com Holiday Charity Horse Show. Sponsored by Wells Fargo, benefiting Ahead with Horses, Camp Max Strauss, Children's Hospital Los Angeles, and other local children's charities. Horse Show means our friend Liam Shatner back on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Bill.
Good morning. The Priceline.com Hollywood Horse Show, sponsored by Wells Fargo, is indeed on Saturday.
Oh, you're a smooth bastard, Bill. You're something else.
Can you say bastard?
The title gets longer every year.
What a radio station you guys have.
Exactly.
Bill, bastard.
I couldn't believe that this is the 23rd. I mean, I remember when this thing started.
You're getting old.
Crazy.
You're getting old, but your voice sounds young.
Well, you as well.
I don't think anybody should take a look at your face, but listen to that.
Now, let me get the information out first, because I know you have had tremendous reaction this year to the entertainment, because the great Vince Gill is going to be there. So the Western Dinner and Concert with Vince Gill is sold out. That part is sold out. But you do still have some tickets available, and they're cheap, too, for the arena show with Tommy Turvey. What's that about, Bill?
That's right. Well, the arena show takes place at 5:30 in the afternoon at the Equestrian Center in Burbank. And Tommy Turvey is a legendary entertainer who uses horse horses, trains horses, and he like trained the Clydesdale, that famous Clydesdale commercial that was on the Super Bowl
for the Budweiser. Yeah, yeah.
One of his great skills. So he puts on a comedy act with horses, and it's about an hour show. The public is invited. The cost of the ticket is very little, and there's competition going on at the same time. So if you come to the Equestrian Center Saturday afternoon around 5 o'clock, 5:30, or earlier, you'll see a great horse show. You'll pay a little bit of money. Every bit of that money goes to help the kids. And we're finding that veterans are having the same problems that these kids have, and the treatment is basically the same, so that the emotional and physical problems of the veterans can be helped with the same charitable dollar. So that's what we're asking the public to do. Go to horseshow.org and take a look at what the fun you can have on Saturday afternoon.
Now, it's a great charity, Bill, and it always has been. You do such wonderful work. And what I love about this, and, you know, you buy the tickets in advance online, it's just $12 for adults, $7 for kids pre-purchase. And, you know, that's cheaper than you'd pay to go to a movie. And this is to see something real life that's hilarious that, you know, who knows how that's going to affect the kids being able to bond with the horses and enjoy it. It's just something completely different for folks to do with their kids this weekend.
That's exactly right. Thank you for saying that. And we got to thank people like Firestone Grill and Vince Gill and Putnam and Smith for the publicity. Tommy Turvey is a great entertainer. He will make you laugh and have the best time on Saturday afternoon.
Bill, are you still riding yourself? Do you still make the time in your busy schedule to ride?
Absolutely. I'll be competing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in that horse show. I'm looking for points. I was able last year in my category to be the top rider in my category in the Southern California area.
But what's your category? Is it Starship Captains or something you came up with so you're guaranteed to win?
Old Man Who Can't Walk is my category, and there's only two in it. And I sometimes put a burr under the saddle of the other guy.
So, Horseshow.org is...
And I try my best to win, and sometimes do.
I know that you love horses, and you always have, so it's great that you have a charity. Hey, we wanted to ask you about something else, Bill, while we have you on the phone, because we haven't had you on in a couple of months, and that is we could not believe the amount that the auction went for a couple of weeks ago for that piece of Star Trek memorabilia that you held in that early episode of the series, that phaser rifle. And I guess there was only one of them or something like that, but there was speculation as to what it would go for, and I think it went for over $200,000.
I think it was $230,000.
That's a piece of crap made out of plastic that you held for an hour 40 years ago, and it went for that much. What do you make of that, Bill?
What do I make of that?
Yeah.
I think that there are people who value Star Trek to that degree, and you can't say nay or yay. It's just some peculiar a position that somebody takes, and that's how much they feel about it. They paid for something that was unique, that nobody else has in the world, and it carries a special magic for them. They're fanatics.
Yeah, they are. And we started talking about it on the radio, and we thought, a guy like you, did you have the foresight to see how valuable this stuff would be, and do you have a whole closet full of phasers?
I have 17 of those rifles. And I will release one every year.
I mean, at the time, though,
nothing. Dean, I held on to nothing.
Wow.
I strode forth naked.
But at the time in the 60s, people didn't imagine that there would be an aftermarket for television props. It just that wasn't a category that existed, right?
Think of a television series on the air today, and imagine that 50 years later, everything they touched, like the telephone they held, would be worth $250,000.
Yeah,
a quarter of $1 million was paid. Somebody paid, and I don't know who. I don't know where the money went. Who had the rifle to begin with? I don't know who sold it.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. All right, well, listen, I know we're out of time and you got to go. You have a very busy weekend ahead. The 23rd annual Priceline.com Hollywood Charity Horse Show, sponsored by Wells Fargo, is happening this weekend. Sounds like a lot of fun for the kids.
Horseshow.org.
or WilliamShatner.com for all the information. Bill, you know we love you. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye, sir.
Bye-bye.
Nice. The Ralph Garman mix of fun period right there on the world-famous K-Rock. I heard from our little friend Ted Stryker, you know, Tailboy, that the phones overloaded at K-Rock yesterday. He's because of the Depeche Mode giveaway for the show at the Troop. He said it was only the third time in our history that that has ever happened. I don't know how he knows that, but I do know that the tickets are very hot. There's only 400 spots in the Troubadour, and we're giving away all of them here on K-Rock every 30 minutes. All day long, congratulations to James Montez from La Habra. He just won his ticket. Your chance coming up at 10 o'clock.
Yeah,
you say?
No, I'm just glad. I'm just glad that Jenny's not going. I'm sure she's happy. That's good for her.
Jenny has plenty of chances to time to try to win later on today and tomorrow, though.
See, even you can't spit it out. You're so ashamed. You hate yourself.
Ralph is here. Time to change topics now. Time for the show is beat on a Wednesday Kevin and Beat Show.
All right, here's the thing. NBC, the more I read about this show, the more I want to just go over and slap somebody right in the head.
Because it's the best?
The Million Second Quiz, this story broke today about this new show that NBC has picked up to kick off their new fall lineup. This is the thing. This is the thing that's going to bring everyone back to NBC. Fifth place NBC now, right? Is going to take television by storm by reinventing television.
Now, you mock, Ralph, but every once in a while, there's a show that comes on that saves the network. I mean,
yes.
Survivor came on and totally redefined CBS.
Yes.
Mad Men came on, and all of a sudden, nobody looked at AMC again.
Yes.
I mean, it does happen.
Right. This is not that. Let me be perfectly clear. You know why? You know I can tell this is not that?
Why?
Tell me.
Because there's too much going on here. The history of reality shows has been, I think without an exception, when it comes to game shows, reality shows, that type of programming, the simpler, the more clean the premise, the bigger the hit. Let's start with what really kind of kicked the whole thing off with Survivor, right? Survivor, bunch of people live on an island.
Right.
How do they do it? Boom, put it on television. That was
one
the slug
home
line. That's the slug line. Bunch of people living in the jungle.
Right.
How do they do? Let's watch. Boom. That's a show. That's a hit. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Remember how big that show was when it first hit?
Mm-hmm.
A person some questions. That was the premise. Regis Philbin asks a dude some questions.
And the more he gets right, the more money they win.
Very simple. Very clean. Deal or no deal. I've got some money in a suitcase. Find it.
Well, now, the Million Second Show.
Guy tries to find a love out of a bunch of girls. Simple.
Right.
Clean.
The Million Second Show sounds equally simple.
First of all, the title alone, The Million Second Quiz. Go F yourself. It's a million seconds. I don't need to get out my calculator to know how long this show's going to be on. It turns out a million seconds is just about 12 days. Now, here's the premise for The Million Second Quiz. A 12-day, 24/7 live competition where contestants will test the limits of their knowledge but also their endurance because they will battle each other and face intense bouts of trivia while they live inside an hourglass, which will also be completely covered live, interactively via the internet, and viewers in the local station affiliates will be able to interact live throughout the day and check in with the players because viewers at home will be able to play the game and perhaps earn a spot in the final four, of which those four will live in the hourglass and then have a chance to win a portion to or up until to $10 million.
What information, man?
Do they drop spiders from the ceiling in any way?
Why not?
To mix it up?
Why not? Let's just jam. What do we got? Hey, what do we got lying around? I don't know. We got an old hourglass. Let's put people inside of it. Let's make them live inside of it. That's not enough. All right. They got to answer questions while they're living inside of it. That's not enough. Well, people can check in from their home computers and just see what they're doing and then check out again. Not enough. What? How many seconds in 12 days?
I like Lisa's idea, which is that they live in the hourglass, but the hourglass is constantly turning, and all the sand from one half of the hourglass is running.
They're just stumbling around.
It's running on top of their heads.
Answer questions while we spin them around in a centrifuge.
And if they miss, it starts to tumble faster.
And the razor blades are also inside the hourglass. They're flying around as they're being tumbled.
Now we got ourselves a show.
And they have to eat horse ass. Come on. NBC, are you so desperate that this is your big rollout? This is the thing? This is the big announcement?
Smells like donkey ass.
That's right.
Will it air all 12 episodes, or all 12 days, I guess I should say? It never stops airing.
I bet it's a cheap show, and they built an hourglass.
They got the hourglass. What are they going to do with that? You can't palm that off on Grimm. You can't send that over to the set and say, "Hey guys, can you write an hourglass episode? Because we got to burn this somehow." Plus, I think it's a live show, and once they started, I think by law someone's got to win.
Oh, because it's a
like
contest.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
once they start their million seconds, someone at the end of a million seconds has to walk away with some money. So I'm guessing we're going to see. Well, we won't see it because no one's going to watch it. But I guess it will go on and on until it's finally over. But this is going to bring people back. This is it.
That idea is literally the greatest idea I have ever heard in my life.
And here's the sad part. I just know there's an office somewhere where guys are high-fiving each other saying, yes, yes.
This is it.
Million-second quiz. We've done it. Hey, you know what, boys? Pop the champagne. We're back on top. NBC.
Yeah.
NBC you later. That's what I say.
I hope Donald Trump is involved somehow.
Oh, me too.
I hope he's the host.
What's Vanilla Ice doing? Can he get a job hosting?
Him and his Amish outfit?
Oh, that's right. He's living with the Amish. He's living with the Amish. That's what he's going to do.
Can't we get you on this show? Can't you somehow host or Beer Mug could be a contestant? How can we be involved
in this? They don't want me on the show because the inside of the hourglass would just be... You wouldn't be able to see it anymore because the walls would be smeared with blood. Because I would murder someone inside the hourglass.
And it would fog up from all the fuming and hating.
That's right, yes.
I can't wait.
It sounds like a Christopher Guest movie. How do we parody reality television show to the point where it's just so ridiculous?
It's Joe Schmo 4 is what it is.
I wish it was, people. I wish it was. All right, let's talk about other showbiz news. Brian Wilson, legendary singer, songwriter, one of the founding members of the legendary Beach Boys, one of the biggest American bands of all time. And people forget, in the 60s, Beach Boys were outselling the Beatles.
Yeah,
I mean, just a monster smash. They've been around forever. I think there's one Beach Boy left, and they wheel him out on stage, and then they still do shows around the world. But Brian Wilson, fascinating life from the heights to the depths of what entertainment has to offer. He was on top of the world. Then he had some mental issues. He had some substance abuse issues. He became a recluse for a period of time. They are making a movie about his life called Love and Mercy. They're going to hire two different actors to play older Brian Wilson and younger in his prime Brian Wilson. Paul Dano reportedly will play the younger version of Brian Wilson, and now they're in the talks with John Cusack, apparently, to play Brian Wilson in the dark periods.
Those are both great casting choices,
yeah,
I think.
I think so.
Neither
of them look like Brian Wilson. I don't see any physical resemblance, but they're both good actors. I bet they could pull it off.
I mentioned earlier today when you brought this story up that Kevin and I interviewed Brian Wilson at the low, low, low point of his life. He was recovering, you know, coming out of the 80s mental illness haze, but still wasn't back to, you know, where he is today. And that he was doing rap covers of Beach Boys songs for a while.
Yeah.
That never got released, but we dug deep into the archives and we found a little piece of tape from one of those songs. If you have time, you'd like to hear it, Ralph.
Yeah, this was sent to us actually by a listener, and he said this isn't, I don't think, a cover of a Beach Boys song, but it is Brian rapping. And I think we missed out. I think we could have had a great rapper on our hands if he had released some of this material. I'm not kidding. This isn't some bit. I didn't run to the other room and work something
I'm
up.
I'm waiting.
This is the real Brian Wilson really rapping for your enjoyment.
That is not it.
I did a damn setup and then you go and do this. Play the actual clip. Did I love you, little surfer girl? Or was it just your body and long black curl? Body, body, body was all we heard. Cruising in her daddy's Thunderbird. She ran away with another man. Much going on behind her smile. I want a hot pot, mental stimulation. Women with more imagination. Cause my girls are my inspiration. That's enough.
Oh, stop it. Make it stop.
Make it stop, please.
Like a train wreck.
Please make it stop.
That's a mashup to remember right there.
That is also the theme song for the million second giveaway on NBC.
You know what? Put people in hourglass and turn that on. Whoever lasts should get $10 million.
God, thank God that never came out.
Oh, it did. It just came out right now here on our air.
You know what I mean, though.
I'm going to release it. I'm going to make it happen because that needs to be heard more. And sitting at a piano
playing the song and never really think that I could be wrong. I'm Brian Wilson, and that's my name. It's also the name of a volleyball game.
It's weird that there was a time that Brian Wilson, one of the greatest songwriters of the 20th century, looked around and said, I need to be more like the Fat Boys. I need to go out there and make those kinds of records.
Oh, that was perfect execution.
Yeah, sure was. Swing and a miss.
That's how you get it done. See? Learn, kids.
Learn, kids. Today's celebrity birthday is actress Shirley MacLaine, 79 years old today. Singer, actress, director, icon, Barbara Streisand.
Barbara Streisand. Barbara Streisand.
She's 71 years old today. David J. of Love and Rockets and Bauhaus is 56. Cedric the Entertainer is 49, as is Jamin Hunsu. Melinda Clark celebrates her 44th birthday. Actor Eric Balfour. You remember him from 6 Feet Under?
Mm-hmm.
Currently can be seen on
Haven.
Haven over there on Sci-Fi, yeah. And we said Raven. I said, that's so Raven. That would have been wrong. Austin Nichols is 33 years old today. Kelly Clarkson is 31. Tyson Ritter of All-American Rejects turns 29. And model and Splash contestant, 24 years old, is Catherine Webb today. Splash, another example. Celebrities dive into water. Boom.
Right.
One line, easy to wrap your head around. People
sure.
tune in. People,
and it works.
Celebrities
exactly.
dance. Boom. Dancing with the Stars. That you got a ratings bonanza there.
But what about celebrities skate?
Celebrity skating.
Was that a big hit?
Well, no one wants to watch anyone ice skate. That was the one flaw, tragic flaw in their plan. But still, it was simple enough that you could sell it. Million second quiz. Oh. I'm coming over, NBC. I'm coming over today. Get security alerted. Put my picture up in the lobby because I'm going to pay a visit. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We did get a hold of our friend, Mr. Schneider from TV Guide. He is going to be joining us tomorrow at the 9 o'clock hour, Ralph, so we can discuss all the intricacies of the Million Second Quiz. I'm very excited about that. Speaking of TV, how about our old friend Cal Penn? He is going to be back in here with us. He, of course, was also Kumar in the Harold and Kumar movies, but we love Cal. He's stopping by. Got Dr. Mm-hmm. Drew on the program tomorrow. We got a guy who, I didn't read the pitch, Ralph, did you? It's a guy who went around the world for like $25, so I went to every country on earth for like the cost of one meal.
He traveled around the world for less than what it would have cost him to stay home and live.
That's amazing.
Oh my gosh.
It's remarkable.
Wow, what a story. So we've got him on the program. We've got a new edition of What's Up with Florida on the program. And somebody on the Kevin and Bean Show has massive insomnia. Hmm. We're going to need your sleep tips tomorrow because I know there's lots of things. Yeah, she's already tried that. But after that, then what? So all of that tomorrow and, of course, another day for you to have a chance to win Depeche Mode tickets at the Troop. It's happening right here tomorrow morning on the world-famous...